The Image of the Beast. Part 3. The following message was preached by Brother Amos in the evening of Sunday, the 21st of May 2017, at the May 2017 convention at Bible Faith Tabernacle, Lagos, Nigeria. This third part is the real eye-opener through the extremely complex world of prophecy and a great warning, a cry from God to let us see how to look at things around us in this very dark and evil world. I greet everyone in Jesus' name. It has been a joy having you all, and may God bless each and every one as you journey back home tomorrow. May God be with you and take you back home safely, and may the Lord remember you for good and be gracious to you. Brother Amos bless all the saints. Brothers and sisters, it has really been a joy having you all, and we appreciate you all. We just want to finish up our message tonight, titled, The Image of the Beast. In the morning, we stopped with the consideration of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 14. We have seen the first beast, the ten-horned beast with seven heads, the Roman beast empowering verse 1, because Revelation chapter 13 opens up in verse 1 with the fourth and final beast empire, which the book of Daniel gives us in chapter 7. In 96 AD, John saw this Roman beast rise up out of the sea, the Mediterranean Sea, at the end time, for its end time role. But then he saw another beast rise up out of the earth in verse 11, which is the Lamb beast, which gives us America in prophecy. This morning, we saw the influence of America, how she exercised the power of the first beast before it, which is the Roman beast, giving us nothing other than the restored geographical entity of the old Roman Empire, which now gives us the European Union. We are also told that the Lamb beast doeth great wonders, scientific military wonders, making fire come out of heaven in the sight of men. We stopped our message with the consideration of verse 14, which is where we will now continue, and it says, And deceiveth, that is, America influenced, them that dwell on the earth, of the Roman beast, by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, the first beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth of the Roman beast, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword, and did live. Church, we said in the morning, that without the rebuilding of Europe, we would not even be talking about the image of the beast. Without the rebuilding of Europe, Europe would not be in any position to set up an image. That is an incontestable fact, and you all have to see this truth. Verse 14 is only giving us the effects of that influence. The effects of America's involvement in the reconstruction of Europe, as that is what in turn enabled the people of the first beast to build an image to that Roman beast. In other words, brothers and sisters, verse 14 is where the influence on reference to America stops completely. I repeat, verse 14 is precisely where reference to and the application of the influence of America ceases. That is where it stops. Because from verse 15, right up to the end of that chapter, America is no longer in the picture. The rest of that chapter has absolutely nothing to do with the Lamb beast. But verse 14 lets us know that it is the influence of America that enabled the Roman beast to make an image, and not America uttering those words in reality, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. No, those words are not uttered, for America never gave such a counsel, for it simply shows that the influence is what motivates and enables them to make the image. Period. It is just like the issue of the foolish virgins in Matthew chapter 25, where in verses 8 to 9, they are said to have pleaded, And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. These words are not uttered literally by the foolish virgins, and neither is the response uttered by any of the wise virgins, but it is written simply to let us know that neither of the two groups can help each other. And furthermore, it also shows that we cannot change who we are in the Lord, that we cannot change the category of saints that God has elected us into. Period. Again in verses 11 to 12, when the foolish virgins came back, it is written, Afterward came also the other virgins, who are the foolish virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Again, saints of God, we must realize that none of these words are uttered in reality, whether by the foolish virgins or by the Lord. But it just lets us see how the Spirit of God ministers in rejection, disallowing the foolish virgins from logging onto the pure light of the bride, who are the wise virgins, ensuring that the two different classes of saints remain as they are. Full stop. It is the intendment of a verse of Scripture that matters, particularly prophetic Scripture, and not the actual words used, for we do not carry the letter of the New Testament, because the Holy Bible tells us plainly and categorically that the letter killeth, but the Spirit of it, the divine revelation of it, giveth life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. In the same vein, when we come back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 14, the lamb beast does not utter those words in reality, but it is her influence that has inspired, or enabled, or caused the people that dwell in the territory of the Roman beast to make the image. Period. If you still cannot see it, I cannot help you, for it cannot be plainer. Pray to God for revelation. Verse 15 says, And he had power. Who had power? You are now going to take it back to the lamb beast in verse 12, which is America. How many see the point? So, he has suddenly changed in its application without an introduction. Therefore, if you look at the pronoun, he without a revelation, if you consider the word, he without a revelation, you are going to take it right back to verses 12 and 13, because it looks like the Spirit of Christ is speaking in a continuous thought. It looks as though the Lord is still speaking in a continuity of thought concerning the activities of the lamb beast, because verse 12 says, And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. Verse 13 continues the thought, declaring, And he doeth great wonders. Even verse 14 still carries the thought of the same beast, saying, And deceiveth them. In other words, and he deceiveth them by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. Church, the he remains and runs through verses 11 to 14, which is precisely why the religious world simply carries that same he through to verse 15, without the slightest thought that the he might have changed in its application. Come on! Verse 15, and he had power. Since, because of the use of the word or pronoun, he, people simply take it as a continuation of the activities of America, the lamb beast, when in fact it is not. They take the pronoun, he, and tie it to the United States, and get themselves flung far away from the path of divine revelation. Church, this is another reason why people stumble on prophecies laid out in the book of Revelation, and they throw prophecy all out of spiritual joint. That is why we say that this is not theology. For the book of Revelation is not a book of theology. This is deep and complex prophetic revelation, and it is in fact the deepest and most complex prophetic book in the entire Bible. That is why God does not stop to introduce a new thought. He just takes a new thought, pushes it right into an ongoing thought, and moves on with it, as though they are the same thought, seriously juggling the prophetic record. He does this so that it will only take his Spirit to open up the truth of it for his elect children, putting the pieces of this great and complex puzzle where they rightfully belong. It is because each verse of prophetic Scripture is like a piece of a giant and most complex puzzle. Therefore, you must know precisely where each verse or piece of the puzzle of salvation slots, and the picture it carries, and that takes nothing but a divine revelation which God alone can give. Because each piece tells a story, and also has a specific place where it slots, adding to the story, thereby brightening the picture. Anything else amounts to butchering. The revelation of life, and any such butchering, invites the penalty of death in the lake of fire, for by butchering, you will be indirectly adding and taken away from God's great prophetic word, and I say that on the full and unquestionable authority of chapter 22. Verses 18 to 19. That is why the book of Revelation is very complex, and yet, it conveys such a most beautiful and magnificent picture. But the glory and marvel of Bible mystery is how God can take something simple. It is how God can take a thought, a prophetic thought, one that is really very simple, and by the time he buries it in deep prophetic language, with complex prophetic symbols, it is like being asked to climb Mount Everest in the Himalayas, or Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, when you do not even have legs, because you are crippled, handicapped. Are you listening to me? However, when the verses are put together by the Spirit of God, and its revelation opens up, it becomes so simple, and you just marvel, this is it. How come I could not see such plain truth before now? That is the difference the revelation of God makes. Therefore, let everyone understand that verse 15 does not speak of America. It does not relate to the second beast, which is the lamb beast. It relates strictly to the first beast, which is the Roman beast, which at the same time gives us the European Union. The Bible says in verse 15, and he had power, or authority, to give life unto the image of the beast. Hold it right there. When we consider the life that this image was given, Brother Jackson had this to say about it in the Contender magazine, titled, America, Look at Yourself, Part 2, declaring, when we see this image here, notice, he had power to give life, which means he had the monetary means to give economic life to it. In the history, 1954, this great world organization, the World Body of Organization of Churches of Christ, in Wheaton, Illinois, was one of the first universal get-togethers of the leaders of Protestantism. Lo and behold, Catholicism was right there. When this meeting took place, out of the Ford Foundation, it tells exactly how many thousands and thousands of dollars was given to that organization to economically help it on its road. From the Rockefeller Foundation came another big contribution, from other corporate industries. They chipped in money because they felt like they should play a part in an organized body of religion. Therefore, they contributed hundreds and thousands of dollars for the beginning of an organization that brings all Protestant religions together, not the bright saints, in a combined body, so they can begin to function as one unit. Brothers and sisters, although I do not doubt that these American organizations or foundations gave the sum stated by the chief apostle, the material and indisputable fact, however, is that the World Church Council had already been formed in Amsterdam, Netherlands, way back in August 1948, about 6 years before these American foundations donated these sums of money. Secondly, and more importantly, the life that was given to the image of the beast is not economics at all, even though every organization needs money to function. Now look at what the Bible says from verse 15, speaking about the Roman beast, and he, the first beast, had power, political authority, to give life unto the image of the beast. Church, this is not an economic life, but a political authority, a political life. The economic life America gave to the Roman beast is precisely what has been expressed in verse 12, which brought about the redevelopment of Europe, and that is exactly where the economic application ends in this chapter, of what America does, with regards to the first beast, the Roman beast. We will take verse 15 again, and he had power, political authority, to give life unto the image of the beast, and what exactly is a direct and immediate result of this life? It is absolutely this, that the image of the beast itself should both speak and cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In other words, by this life, the World Council of Churches is legally empowered to kill all those who will not join the council. Church, it is the life that the image receives that empowers it to make decrees which legally bind the whole of Christendom, and that is not yet a reality today, thus vindicating the truth that this life is not an economic life, to even apply it to 1948, or even to 2017, but it is a political or legal power that the World Church Council will receive. And please note that this government-licensed bloodbath is thus yet the Lord in His Word. Just think about that. Open your eyes and wake up, and see this very diabolical plan of Lucifer, for it is serious stuff. Consequently, we should all be able to see, scripturally speaking, that verse 15 does not relate to economic love at all, but strictly to the Roman-based government license to the WCC. By this legal life, by this legal authority, the World Council of Churches can issue legally binding laws, legal orders, decrees demanding on the pain of death that every church or assembly, every pastor or preacher, and every Christian organization should join the image, which is the council. What an hour is coming upon Christendom! What a satanic hour! Jesus, keep us near the cross, and please come quickly. Now we can all see undoubtedly that verse 15 has absolutely nothing to do with the United States, the Lamb Beast, because it states clearly and emphatically, and he had power, or legal authority, to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast, not America, but that the image of the beast, should both speak. America did not do that. Without any iota of doubt, the Spirit of Christ is letting us see ahead, that the image of the beast we see today, looking so innocent and mild, will receive political life, political power. It will be invested with legal authority to issue decrees that will bind the whole of Christendom, backed up with the death penalty. What a great prophetic posting of future events this revelation gives to the end-time bride. And what a dark road lies ahead for the religious world. Dark days are coming for this religious world, but glorious days are coming for the true bride of Christ. Let us run into the true and continuing light of Christ, for that is the only place of refuge. This prophetic verse of Scripture exposes the World Council of Churches for what it really is, regardless of the empty and most deceiving words they state, which is that the WCC is not a church, nor does it issue orders or directions to the churches. They are going to do much more than just issuing directions. They will be the legalized killing machine of Lucifer when that hour comes. No church or assembly will be able to function, and no preacher will be able to preach without joining the image of the beast when the time comes. That is why the prophet to this age gave a thus saith the Lord, that the squeeze is coming. The image is not speaking at the moment, and hence, it looks like a very peaceful and good-intentioned organization, only because it has not yet received the life. Once it receives life, the image will then have authority, legal authority. It will then begin to make decrees that will bind the whole of Christendom. And its true colors will come out. It will do two things. The image will be able to both speak, issuing legally binding decrees, and cause death. Cause that as many as will not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Because it has authority to issue decrees, which will be backed by the full force of the law of the land. Something is coming down the road, brothers and sisters, and it is fast approaching. Open your eyes, for no bright seed of God will be caught napping, because revelation is given to post her ahead, which is why the Spirit of Christ is exposing to us who make up the end-time bride, precisely what Satan will do right in front of us. Saints, a bloodbath, a serious bloodbath, is coming for Christians, true believers. So, if you think that the Roman-based system, the Roman Catholic Church, has changed, you are the fool. The murderous religious machine of Lucifer is only playing it cool, bidding her time, waiting, pretending to be innocent, knowing that the conditions are not yet ripe, and that is why it looks like she has changed. The Church of Rome has never changed, and will not change, for her end is sure, and is laid out bare in the Holy Scriptures, which is precisely why they want to take the Holy Bible from all true believers. That is why they do not want you to know the Scriptures, so they can sneak things upon the world, and then you are caught in a web from which you cannot get out, all because of your ignorance of the truth. Ignorance is a great disease, and it is too costly. It is one that no seed of God can afford. Ignorance, even in the natural, is not good for anyone. Do you know how many millions died in Africa because of malaria, and they thought it was a witch doctor somewhere causing it, or that it was one god somewhere bringing the plague, when all it took was a tidy environment, one that would not give mosquitoes room to breed, as they were the culprits. So, ignorance is not good, even in the natural. How much more in the spiritual? Therefore, keep your eyes on the Holy Scriptures, not on blood moons, lunar cycles, celestial eclipses, and such natural heavenly signs, but on the infallible, immutable, life-giving Word of God. Open your eyes tonight, because we are on holy ground, for you have not yet seen the persecution of Christians, the intense and fierce, seven-times-heated fire of death that faced true believers who refused to join the image of the Babylonian beast in Daniel chapter 3, was real, and the same holds true for those who refuse the image of the Roman beast, as recorded in Revelation chapter 13, verse 15. It was Lucifer in his beginning move in the Babylonian beast, and it is Lucifer in his ending move in the Roman beast. You have to see the objective of the devil, and that is to take out every God-believing Christian he can lay his hands on, to take out every Bible-believing child of God. That is the objective. That is exactly what he did in the Dark Ages. Walking in and through the Roman Catholic Church, the beast system of religion, and the wave of evil is coming right back. It is thus saith the Lord in his word. And so, something is coming right in front of us, and you cannot afford to get caught in something that you may never get out of. Before we end this message, by the grace of God, we are going to see the end of this terrible, evil, and most diabolic image of the beast, the World Council of Churches, because that image is going straight to the lake of fire. That is the reason, brothers and sisters, we will not be joining even the Christian Association of our street if they had one. We are even talking of our street, the Christian Association of Bajulai Compound Street, and we are saying that we will not be joining them, much less talk of the Christian Association in a local government, or in a state, or in the national body, or the world body. Forget it. We are one class of people that will not be joining the Christian Association of Nigeria, the national arm of the World Council of Churches, and neither will we be supporting it in any way, however small and insignificant the support might be, for we will not be supporting the move of Lucifer. Full stop. As the saying goes, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. It is not for nothing when the Bible records in Proverbs 1:17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, because it can see, and we can also see, like nobody else can. You cannot give me what I know to be deadly poison, like arsenic, and expect me to take it, just because you present it as a drink, or that you even think it is a drink. That is not going to happen, regardless of how mad you may be with me for refusing your deadly offer. Brothers and sisters, it is plainly written, they cannot walk together unless they be agreed, and the basis is not because I like your face, or that you scratch my back, I scratch your back. The absolute and exclusive basis of fellowship is the Word of God, the fact that we see eye to eye. If we do not agree on the Scriptures, then we just do not agree. Period. And if you cannot understand that, that is your business. I do not have a problem with that. We just must understand that not every seed walking in the earth today is of God, for the world is full of serpent seeds. And because the seeds of the serpent have come to maturity, is the very reason the world is in such an evil and morally degenerate state, one that is beyond comparison, although many of them also have a religious spirit, and will never subject themselves to the rulership of the Word of God, despite their confessions of faith. So, just how can we walk together? How can we both agree? How will there ever be a scriptural agreement between the two seeds that exists in the religious world, when God cannot even get Cain to submit to his word, being a seed of the serpent? Forget it. As long as the seeds are from the two vines, God and Satan, as long as they are not of the same vine, there can be no agreement. And there will be no agreement. Period. Brothers and sisters, when you look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, whatever the he does is what empowers the image of the beast to have authority to issue decrees. Moreover, America is not in control of the World Council of Churches, and as such, it is not America that will give its life, because the image of the beast is based in Europe, for its headquarters is in Europe, Geneva, Switzerland. Yes, in America, there is also a national arm of the World Council of Churches, just as we have in all other countries of the world, and it is called the National Council of Churches, NCC, in Nigeria. It is called the Christian Association of Nigeria, CAN. It is a national bundle of the global bundle, for tears have already been bundled together. So, just how do you think we will ever join it, when we know precisely what it is? If it is a sword that they want to use against us, they are at liberty to use it against us for refusing to join the WCC, if that is what they want to do. Because there are certain things an elect child of God will just never be a part of, and the chief of these is the World Council of Churches. After all, it is better to depart and to be with the Lord, and receive the crown of martyrdom, than to live for a few miserable years in this evil and degenerate world, in compromise of the revelation of life eternal that Jesus Christ gives. Since the direct and immediate effect of the life that the image of the beast receives in verse 15 proves that we cannot tie it to the lamb beast. Moreover, the image is not even going to speak until time evolves to the middle of the last week of Daniel, although the pressure would have been seriously mounted upon the whole of Christendom to join the image of the beast ever before the middle of the week comes, which is what Brother Branham prophetically called the squeeze in 1963. In his message titled, Look Away to Jesus, which I edited in a little measure for smooth reading, Brother Branham declared, The third pool has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that, cause it can't be. See, it cannot be impersonated. Now it's in existence. And I am warned of this that soon. Right at this time now it just happened, so it could identify its presence among you, see, but it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that happens, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything that can be done. But when the time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily will be manifested in the fullness of its power. See. Now I must continue in evangelism, just as I was commissioned. First, I must continue on. Therefore, you have the word, and you know what to look for, how to stand. I must continue on in evangelism. And, friends of mine, keep still, and just keep moving on, for the hour is approaching swiftly. See, that one something is going to be done. The squeeze will set in around the opening of the last week, but the WCC is not going to speak until we get to the middle of the last week of Daniel, because its ability to speak is going to be for precisely 3.5 years, which brings us to the last phase of the Great Tribulation. And in the day, America, the prophetic earth, will be the guardian enclave and place of nourishment for the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, the woman of Revelation chapter 12. Verses 6, 14, and 16. How many see that? I ask because you have to see the truth. If in Revelation chapter 12, America is the prophetic earth that God will use to preserve the woman element, the spiritual element of the nation of Israel, from the face of the Roman-based man, the Antichrist, in that very grave hour of tribulation, which is called the time of Jacob's trouble, common sense will tell you, therefore, that America cannot be the beast to give life to the image of the beast at the same time. Consequently, the influence of America and the reference to America within Revelation chapter 13 stops in verse 14. It starts in verse 11 and it ends in verse 14. Verse 15 takes us right back to reconnect with the first beast, the Roman beast. Are you listening to me? From verse 15, we are brought back to the Roman beast, which we saw from verses 1 to 10, because it is continuing the thought of that very beast, and that is precisely why that chapter literally ends in verse 18, with the man of sin, the Antichrist, the 666 man of the Roman based empire, and all that has nothing to do with America, the lamb beast. This lets you see that in his prophetic revelation recorded in the book of Revelation chapter 13, Jesus Christ started that chapter with the 10-horned beast, which is the fourth and final beast empire of Daniel chapter 7, having started the four beast empires with the Babylonian beast empire, and having introduced the Roman beast from verses 1 to 10 The Lord Jesus now introduced the lamb beast in verses 11 to 14. Then in verses 15 to 18, he goes right back to continue the prophetic revelation about the Roman beast. And this is the true and perfect prophetic layout of that chapter, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 15 records, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Verses 16 to 18 follow, declaring, "And he, who is the Antichrist, the Pope of that hour, the Roman beast man, causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark of the Roman beast man, in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, man of Rome, or the number of his name." Here is wisdom. In other words, this is a challenge. This is a proof for the people who were revelated. "Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, the Roman beast man, who is none other than the Pope of Rome, and his number is 666, which is 666. The 666 number is the total numerical value of one of the Latin titles of the Pope of Rome, Vicarius Filii Dei, which means instead of the Son of God, which is a very blasphemous title at that. What a blasphemous title to bear when nobody can replace Christ. And right here in verse 18, we are told in plain and categorical terms that 666 is the number of a man who is a Roman-based man, the Antichrist that is to come. Since this 666 beast man is not coming out of the blues, and he is certainly not coming out of the lamb beast, he is coming out exclusively from the Vatican, because the papacy is the seat of the Antichrist, the Roman-based man, a religious office which took over the political seat of the emperors of Rome and started ruling over the Roman base empire in the Dark Ages, merging religious power with political power, thus causing pagan Rome to become known as the Holy Roman Empire. And because the Vatican is the office or the seat of the coming man of sin, the beast man, the expected Antichrist, the son of perdition, this makes every pope an Antichrist. So, the Antichrist is coming, but his office has already been established, which is that of the papacy, the Bishop of Rome, the office of the Pope, which is in the Vatican City, a city-state, a city within the city of Rome, and a sovereign political state within the state of Italy. That is the same ecclesiastical, religious, office Prophet Daniel referred to as the little horn in chapter 7, verses 8 and 11, and in verses 15 to 26, "And it will do you good to take heed, for we are looking at Satan's grand evil design." We are going somewhere tonight, and we need to consider this office, the Roman based man's office, the papacy. Since, you must understand, that we cannot consider the image of the beast without considering the beast, the 666 beast man, who is behind the setting up of the image of the beast. Since, look at the crown on the head of Pope Francis. It is a triple crown. Brother Amos points to the chart. May I say this tonight, that this photo has been photoshopped, meaning that this pope did not wear this particular crown in reality, although he does have another triple crown that he wears, and he has worn it seated on his throne in the Vatican, along with two angel figures standing on each side of his throne, in the very picture on our chart, which is a true picture, except for the photoshop crown on his head. He is holding up the monstrance, a round-shaped object of veneration, adoration. Where did they get such within the Holy Bible, from Genesis to Revelation? Please note that the monstrance is the emblem or symbol of the Sun God, and it has absolutely nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And when the monstrance is lifted up in Hamas, brothers and sisters, everybody bows to it and follows it, for it is used for worship, which is nothing but open idolatry, for that is downright pagan. So, here we see the Pope of Rome lifting up the monstrance, knowing that that round object in his hand is the emblem of the Sun God. Therefore, we must ask, why is he holding up a monstrance? What is he doing with it in service, when it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, but has everything to do with paganism? This just lets you see that religious organization, The Roman Catholic Church, which is the Roman-based system, for what it is, that it is a pagan religion disguised as Christian, the greatest mission of deception that the devil has ever invented, to dupe hundreds of millions of souls to hell, by her idolatrous mass, false doctrines, pagan traditions, and carnal ceremonies. No wonder, in Revelation chapter 18, Jesus Christ unveiled her in verse 2, plainly declaring, Babylon the Great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, because she is nothing but a pagan religion dressed as Christian. Since I took this photo where Pope Francis carried the monstrance and simply placed the triple crown on his head, which is actually one of the main triple crowns owned by the Vatican, and then I placed him on our charts to show you something. This crown, the triple crown, which gives us three crowns in one, is nothing but open blasphemy. Brothers and sisters, the meaning of a triple crown and the reason for the triple crowns that the popes wear is to convey the fact, although it is absolutely false and blasphemous, but it is to convey the thought, nonetheless, that the Pope is the ruler of the three realms, heaven, earth, and hell. The triple crown is designed to show that in that office, he has jurisdiction over heaven, over earth, and over hell. What utter blasphemy! For just as in Revelation chapter 19, Jesus Christ is coming to rule over the entire earth in the millennium, with many crowns stacked on his head, showing that he is ruler over every nation on earth, Satan, the greatest impersonator, also took the symbol of authority and gave it to the papacy, the seat of his coming prince and heir apparent, which is why the popes wear triple crowns, falsely claiming authority over heaven, over earth, and over hell. The last pope, Pope Emeritus Benedict Joseph Ratzinger, who is still alive, loves the triple crown, and I say that because there are many photos of him with different triple crowns and Fandango regalia. Go and Google it, because I am not making it up. I am only showing you the extent of the blasphemy of the Vatican, the office of the 666 Roman-based man. Saints of God, I am making a point with all these things, because we can see exactly where everything is going to wind up. For in the grave, dangerous, satanic prophetic hour that is right ahead, the world will worship the Pope, the Beast Man, and also receive his mark, the mark of the Beast Man, just as it is written. And as long as you do not have a revelation of something, you will simply walk into a snare smiling and rejoicing, because you are totally ignorant. That is why today, a lot of church-going folks who are heading straight to the lake of fire are marching towards it with a song of salvation in their mouths and with thanksgiving to God, simply because they have no clue to anything. Open your eyes, because we are preaching the pure word of God, which is able to save your soul from the snares of the wicked one. And like I said this morning, I have a right to preach the Holy Scriptures and show the secret workings of Satan in Christendom, to keep the children of God from being ensnared and derailed from the pathway of life eternal. And no man gives me the authority to do so, except Almighty God. You do not have to like what we preach, and you do not have to agree with what we preach. Your condemnation of our message does not make it a lie, nor does it make it untruth. Calling the preaching of the truth of the Holy Bible hate preaching does not make a difference, because we are under a divine obligation to preach against all erroneous teachings and against all acts of iniquity, because they are all motivated by the spirit of the Antichrist and have the power of sending souls to hell. In the book of Prophet Isaiah chapter 58, the Almighty God commanded us in verse 1, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and shew my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. That is the divine responsibility of a true ministry, and God demands faithfulness, regardless of the horrible attitude that people may bear towards the ministry of truth, for condemning iniquitous and abominable acts. In the book of Prophet Isaiah chapter 30, verse 8 to 13, it is written, Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, See not, and to the prophets. Prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a bridge ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. Yes, his judgment will certainly come, because God will judge all acts of iniquity and rebellion against his word. Therefore, the truth of God must be told, come what may. Hence, in the book of prophet Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning from verse 1, the Lord God warned. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts, and set him for their watchman, if when he see the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. Now listen to verse 6. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come, and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them for me. Now hear the warning that God gives to the watchman. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Consequently, may I say this, and please hear me loud and clear, the authority of the servants of God to preach the word of God has never devolved upon any human government to give, no matter how much they criminalize the preaching of truth, in order to gag the preaching of the truth, for this concerns our eternal destiny, over which no human government has any say. No government rules over the souls and the conscience of the people of God, particularly the ministry, who are charged by the Almighty God to show the people their sin, by calling sin by its name. For sin is sin, and God will judge sin. Therefore, we do not need the certificate of men to preach the gospel of our God, we only need the authority and the anointing of God, the call of God, to carry the redeeming gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ our Savior. Period. The fact that people take offense at what is preached makes no difference, as long as it is the truth of the Holy Bible, as long as it is a written word of God. It was not Pilate that gave St. Peter the authority to be an apostle, and neither was it Herod that gave St. Paul the authority to be an apostle, and neither was he the one that gave them the authority to preach. St. Paul also did not receive a certificate from Gamaliel, calling him into the ministry. No, the Master called him in a supernatural encounter, one which these so-called educated morons and bird-brain medical scientists will call having hallucinations and schizophrenia. He was anointed by the Master, and he was sent by the Lord to preach the gospel of life, and tell how to bow. Even the demons acknowledged openly to carnal impersonators, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but you, who are you? So, authority to preach is not derived from any government of this earth. You can discredit us, ban us in jail, maim us, kill us, but the gospel of God shall still go on regardless, and it will accomplish God's purpose, simply because the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. No man and no government can cage the truth of God, but it will go on, God moving from vessel to vessel, and that is the truth. Brothers and sisters, as long as you are ignorant, devoid of revelatory understanding, you will be very happy in your ignorance, and you will get yourself ensnared, and join yourself to something you think is very nice, but it will turn out to be nothing but the gateway to hell, designed by Lucifer to lead you directly to the lake of fire. You will be happy, smiling at it, because you lack understanding, because you are devoid of revelation. That is why God is not interested in your sacrifices. He is interested in your walking in the light of His Word. You had better follow the light, so that you do not stumble, for darkness has taken over the world as we speak. Poor people, spiritual darkness, run into the rock of safety whilst there is still time, for the night is coming when the world shall weep and gnash their teeth. Church, tonight, truth is free. Truth is free, but the price of truth will soon change, and we are also going to see that aspect. Truth, tonight, is free, but even though it is free, it is not cheap, for it will cost you something, although it is not money. It may cost you your job, as you may be fired because of your firm stand for truth and your righteous conduct. Because you dare to stand for truth, it may cost you your education. It may cost you your friends. It may also cost you your family. It may cost you your marriage. It may cost you your home. It may cost you your assembly. It may cost you your liberty. For you may be jailed. It may even cost you your life. All that may happen, because truth certainly has a price. Therefore, even though truth is free, for you cannot buy it with money, nonetheless, it is not cheap, for there is a price you will pay. But it is not money. It is a firm and unwavering stand, an uncompromising resolve, and a wholehearted appreciation of the preciousness of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is more than life. It is knowing the immeasurable value of the message of the cross of Calvary, the eternal glory that God gives through His Son, Jesus the Christ, and laying your whole life on it. That was why the three Hebrew children were not afraid to face the fierce fire of death that King Nebuchadnezzar had prepared, for they would rather die than compromise the word of life, knowing that they would rise in the morning. That was why men like St. Polycarp, John Huss of Bohemia, and William Tyndale could also give their lives to be burnt on the stake, because life is nothing, and Christ is everything. This is not traditional Christianity. This is revelator Christianity. We are preaching a revelation, and not man-made theology. We are preaching the divine revelation of the Holy Scriptures, which is the word of life, and not mere religion. For this is a battle for eternal life. It is a race for life. That is precisely why the only thing we have to lift up, and the only thing we will lift up, is the scriptural revelation of Jesus Christ, for it is the word of life, because it is life for us. And as it is written in Proverbs 21, verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Consequently, if truth has been laid out bare before you, and you decide to walk in untruth, thus saith the word of God, you will remain in the congregation of the dead, because you have proved yourself unworthy of eternal life. Brothers and sisters, the word of life has been given to keep us from the snares of the devil. Because the world tonight is writing its last chapter. Listen to me tonight, brothers and sisters, man is writing his very last chapter. They do not know that, and they will not believe that, but that is a fact, nonetheless. That is precisely why they cannot understand the extreme climatic weather turbulence that the world is facing as we speak. They do not understand why nature has gone totally ballistic, totally chaotic, with giant earthquakes ravaging various parts of the earth, monster hurricanes, big tornadoes, avalanches, tsunamis, typhoons, monsoons, floods, extreme cold and extreme heat, all sorts, all of which are devastating the world and stretching the lean resources of the world. The world is in complete chaos. There are problems in Afghanistan as we speak. There are problems in Iraq as we speak. There are problems in Libya as we speak. There are problems in Syria as we speak. There are problems in Pakistan as we speak. There are problems in Sudan as we speak. There are problems in northern Nigeria as we speak, because Boko Haram is creating mayhem and death. And moral perverts called the LGBT have come out of their closets with a vengeance and have overtaken the world, forcing their evil and abominable lifestyles in society. Because of a few moral perverts, the whole world must be turned completely on its head. That is satanic through and through, and that is why the whole world is in utter chaos. You may ask me, while things developing this way, Brother Amos, it is because this is the end of the world. We are at the end, and the prophecy of the 666 man is staring us right in the face. For the stage has been set, and it is ripe for his introduction. All they need now is serious global chaos and a gigantic global economic collapse, and they will ask him to take over the saddle of the Roman-based empire, the European superstates. That is what Pope Francis has been pushing seriously for, urging the United Nations, as well as the European Union, to actualize a one-world government, and of course, it is with him in the saddle, it is with him at the head, even though we all know that there will not be a one-world government, except that of the European Union government. What is more, Agenda 21 of the United Nations, which looked to 2050 for a one-world government, has now been changed into Agenda 2030, letting us see the overdrive mode that this move has entered into, particularly when we apply that to the European Union. All these things are happening because this is the generation that will see the return of Jesus Christ for his bride. That is precisely why the preaching of the truth of the Word of God is being banned, using hate laws, for Satan is seeking once again to chain down the Holy Bible. He knows that this is the move that will produce the bride for Jesus the Christ, for we are the ones that will see Christ's return. It is for this very reason that we are preaching this message tonight. So, open your eyes. Because the Spirit of truth is here. Brothers and sisters, I want you all to know that Bible days are back, for we are back to the Bible. The religious world is in gross apostasy, but the bride of Christ is back in Bible days, because the apostolic days are back. And hence, the true light of Jesus Christ is now shining marvelously, with an ever-increasing intensity. Apostolic times are here, for that is precisely what the ministry of the end-time Elijah was used to set in motion. The Lord God has sent his word to guide us, to help us, to keep us from the evil and most wicked ploy of the devil in these last days, because something is going on in the earth tonight, slowly and quietly. Something very evil and diabolical, which is why the Lord has raised up the standard of the flying eagle, and the devil has no hiding place. Come with me to the Word, and come with your eyes open. I want to inform you, brothers and sisters, that the saints who were in the church hall, our church hall, over their own Bajulai compound, experienced something last night. Something happened over there whilst the meeting was going on here. As the Spirit of God was moving here, the power of God also fell over there, and the saints were slain in the Spirit. The atmosphere was charged, and brethren were under anointing, right there in the church hall last night, and the Lord also gave forth a prophecy. Brothers and sisters, we are on the right road. So, let us keep moving on in the light, for the Lord is going to move for his people. Now come with me to the Scriptures. In Genesis chapter 11, which we considered this morning, we saw something. And I ask, what exactly did we see? We saw the building of a city and a tower, the city and tower of Babel, the very first place in the Holy Bible, where we see a global political structure established under Nimrod, and God had to stop that project. No, God did not stop or take away the global political structure that was established in that day. God only stopped the building of the city and the tower, but the global political structure that was established remained, because we saw the place of Nimrod in his global dominant position in chapter 10, but we are not going to read it, because we are already established in that. The truth remains, however, brothers and sisters, that a global political structure or position was already established in that day, a global office, and that political structure continued, because it is what was also expressed in the first beast empire, the Babylonian beast empire, and it was carried right through to the Medo-Persian beast empire, and through to the Grecian beast empire, up to the Roman beast empire, and that very global political office, position, is what is going to pick up and continue even today, in the Roman beast that is facing us at this same time, which is the European Union, because the global political structure remains, as it has its last prophetic application at this end time. Now pay rapt attention, because we want to go into something very serious, and as it is written, he that hath an ear, let him hear. In Matthew chapter 4, The Holy Bible says in verses 8 to 11, "Again the devil taketh him, Jesus Christ, up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and, behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Brothers and sisters, now we see something. The global structure that was established in Genesis, as confirmed in chapter 10, has carried on through time, which is precisely why Satan could offer the global political position to Jesus Christ, for in the day, the Caesars of Rome, the emperors, occupy that very global office position. For the sake of our visitors, let us go quickly to Genesis chapter 10, where Moses was speaking about Nimrod, the son of Cush, and the grandson of Ham, which gives us the black race, beginning from verse 6, and the sons of Ham, the progenitor of the black race, Cush, which is Ethiopia, and Mizraim, Egypt, and Phut, Libya, and Canaan, which takes us to the Middle East, the Canaanites whom the Israelites later wiped out, for they were all children of Ham as well. And in case anyone is still doubting the racial identity of Ham himself, we all know that the continent of Africa is where the black race is predominantly based. Now listen to what God says in Psalm 78, where he declared in verse 51, "And smote all the firstborn in Egypt, in North Africa, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham." That plainly confirms Ham's racial identity. And Psalm 105, verses 23 and 27, further testifies to this truth. Brothers and sisters, we all know Cush, the first son of Ham, but I had to identify him by the scriptures, because of our visitors. Let us now turn back to Genesis chapter 10, starting with verse 8, for that is where we are going, and it records, "And Cush, the son of Ham, begat Nimrod, making Nimrod the grandson of Ham. He, Nimrod, began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a world-class ruler, the very first one." Verses 9 to 12. "He was a mighty hunter, a great military genius, before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod the mighty hunter, the great military leader, before the Lord. Watch, and the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Diak, and Akkad, and Kanef, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and built in Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and dressing between Nineveh and Calah. The same is a great city." Can you now see the evil genius, the global leader of Babel? I am making a point that the establishment of the city and the tower of Babel was right under the leadership of Nimrod, the first world-class leader that Satan established, because through him, a global political structure was put in place in the day, which Satan would carry all through time. And when he got to the days of Jesus, he offered Jesus that political structure. Wake up. When Jesus came, he offered Jesus this very global political structure if he would only compromise. But Jesus rejected his evil offer, being the most faithful Son of God. The devil was looking for a shortcut to his long-term plan. He wanted to get Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to compromise God's plan of redemption by offering him the global political office of the Caesars, so that he does not pay the price for the redemption of this planet. That way, Jesus Christ, being a global religious figure, a global spiritual leader, now sitting in a global political office, would have merged the global political office with his religious office, thereby making the seat of the Caesars a religious power structure in addition. In other words, in the day, this would have transformed the office occupied by the Caesars into both a political and religious office, as the two powers, political power and religious power, would have been fused in the global office of the Caesars and occupied by one man. But Jesus rejected this evil offer outright. Church, although it took him some time, eventually, the devil would have his way, and that is something the religious world are not taking into serious consideration, for Satan has an ambition, a most evil ambition. Church, in the day, Satan had already accomplished something on the earth, and that is that he had been able to establish a global political structure over the world, going from person to person, and from one kingdom to the next. Come with me to the book of prophet Isaiah, and we will take chapter 14, beginning from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Now look closely at verses 13 to 14. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars. Who are the angels of God? Watch this ambition. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Where? In the sides of the north. And exactly where is that? That is Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem. Lucifer also wants to sit on Mount Zion, which is the mountain of God in Jerusalem, where God put his name. 1 Kings 9 verse 3. The Psalm of David confirms this very mount in chapter 48, verses 1 to 2, declaring, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Saints of God, this lets us see that Lucifer also has his eyes on Jerusalem. He has his eyes on Mount Zion, where the temple of God is, because he wants to take over the temple, since it is the city of God, the city of the king, and the place where God put his name. Satan says, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north, right there in Jerusalem. And that is exactly what he does in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, as recorded in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. He wants to take over Judaism. However, please let us not forget that natural or physical Mount Zion also represents and sets a type of spiritual Mount Zion. For Mount Zion has a dual application, according to Hebrews chapter 12, for it is also the church of the living God, as revealed in verses 22 to 23. But ye will come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, God's spiritual city, the heavenly, or spiritual, Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Saints, this lets us see without any iota of doubt that Satan is not content with being worshipped around the world in all these false pagan religions who are in idolatry. His main ambition is that he wants to sit on Mount Zion, in the sides of the north, the mountain of God, to be worshipped as God in Jerusalem, and to also take over Christendom. In other words, Satan wants to take over Judaism as well as Christianity, thereby usurping God's position. By taking over the only two true religions that God has established on earth for his worship. That is why Lucifer wants to be God in Jerusalem, after he has taken over Gentile Christendom, by engineering the image of the beast. Wake up! Prophet Isaiah brought it out in Bible prophecy, for Lucifer declared, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. That is the city of the great king. I am showing you Satan's ultimate objective, which is not polytheism, the worship of many gods, but a one-world religion, for he is going to marry everything together. That is precisely why the Vatican, inspired and ruled by the devil, has never recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, or even recognized it as being part of the nation of Israel, or that it belongs to Israel. The papacy has never recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and she never will, because the devil likewise has his eyes on that city, which is precisely why the Vatican recognizes Jerusalem strictly as an international city, because he will make it his capital or global base, his international seat of power. That is why, even as far back as 1095 to 1291 AD, when the papacy raised up the various crusaders to fight the Muslims who had taken over Jerusalem, in order to liberate Jerusalem from them, it was not done in order to restore Jerusalem to Israel, but it was done purely to take it over, and that position of the Vatican has not changed today as we speak. That is why they have divided Jerusalem among themselves, all because of the evil ambition of the dragon, the spirit of Lucifer, to sit also upon Mount Zion, an ultimate ambition of Satan, which Prophet Isaiah gives to us. Tonight, brothers and sisters, he has accomplished one of his two ultimate objectives, but he is yet to accomplish the second. Do you know what he has accomplished? He has been able to take over Gentile Christendom through the image of the beast, for all that remains in this regard is the official marriage. When he gives life to the image, thereby enabling the image to force the rest of the Christians to join that image, on the pain of death. So, the engagement is already on, for as Christ is currently engaged to his bride in a divine revelation, so is the devil also engaged to his bride, through the image of the beast. But make no mistake about it, the image of the beast is Satan's bride, for they are engaged to Lucifer. We are going somewhere tonight, and please open your eyes. If you play with the devil, you will lose. Stay firmly and uncompromisingly with the Holy Scriptures, and you will see the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, Lucifer has an ultimate objective. He has an ultimate desire. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. We took this prophetic scripture to Psalm 48, and the mount concerned gives us Jerusalem. However, and as we have also shown, we not only have natural Jerusalem, but as Hebrews chapter 12 reveals, we also have spiritual Jerusalem, which we also see in Revelation chapter 21. So, whichever way you look at it, whether from the viewpoint of Hebrews chapter 12 or from that of Revelation chapter 21, we have a natural Jerusalem, and we also have a spiritual Jerusalem. We have a natural Mount Zion, and we also have a spiritual Mount Zion. And the devil has his eyes on both, because he wants to be God over Christendom, and he also wants to be God in Jerusalem, over the Judaistic kingdom of God. What an ambition Lucifer has! Open your eyes tonight, because as I keep emphasizing, we are going somewhere. Church, when the gospel of Jesus Christ went forth in the first church age, the Ephesian age, as soon as God began to establish Christianity, and spiritual Mount Zion was born and set in motion, and the bounds of spiritual Mount Zion began to expand through the apostolic preaching and teaching of the true revealed word of Christ, Satan immediately went into action, because his ultimate ambition had not been lost or forgotten. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just look at what Apostle Paul says in the day by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, beginning from verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his bride, and by our gathering together unto him, in the sky, in the rapture, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, do not let any prophetic message, preaching, teaching, or any alleged letter from us concerning the rapture, trouble your mind. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for the day of rapture shall not come, meaning that the rapture cannot happen tomorrow, although the Lord can come for you tonight, but the day shall not come, except, and only except, there come a falling away first. Brothers and sisters, the falling away from the faith is what leads to open societal rebellion, and that is precisely what is before us on earth today, for we live in it. We live in a world of open rebellion, and humanity have become something else. You do not even know what they want to look like. They dress like hell, look like hell, walk like hell, think like hell, talk like hell, act like hell, live like hell. They are simply insane, absolute degenerates, perfect children of Lucifer, Satan's masterpieces, designer babies of the Prince of Chaos. It is an insane world, and they do not blush, for shame is not in their dictionary, which is why their glory is in the shame. What a horrible world! Just look at the utter perversion in apostate state of Christendom, where moral perverts have taken over the pulpit. Men without conscience, for the hearts of these preachers have been seared with a hot iron, and a past feeling. It is a mess. What is going on is nothing but open rebellion. But what brought about this open rebellion? It is because the religious world derailed from the truth. Christendom derailed from the word of life that was restored to us at this evening time, and this falling away from the revealed faith is what has produced what we now see on the earth, which is an open rebellion, where the human society has become base, totally upside down, and full of evil and raw, uncensored wickedness, a society of people that have been thrown to the hogs. The falling away is the reality before us today, for the first condition for the rapture has been fulfilled. That is the first condition precedent that the rapture is contingent upon, for it is written, "For the day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and, secondly, the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who is the Antichrist to come. He has to be revealed, which simply means that he has to be introduced as the head of the European Union. He has to be introduced as the head of the Roman-based empire, the ten-horned beast. May I therefore say tonight that that man has not yet been revealed, although we know his office, because his office has been fully established and is scripturally identified, and it is nothing but the Vatican, the papacy, as he is not coming out of the blues. Consequently, there is a particular pope that is destined to fulfill this very prophecy as the man of sin, the son of perdition. May I add that concerning the identity of the pope that is destined to become that Antichrist, we will not go by what Malachi Martin, the Irish Catholic priest and writer on the Catholic Church, says in his book, as he points to this present pope, Pope Francis, as a one to fulfill this Bible prophecy. We will go by the Holy Scriptures, as that is the inspired, infallible, and inerrant Word of God. Church, let us go on. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it declares of this man of sin, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that as God sitteth in the temple of God, in Jerusalem, for he takes it over, shewing himself that he is God. When? Right there in the middle of the last week of Daniel. This lets us know that he will leave the Vatican City with his European international military force and overrun Jerusalem, entering into the temple of God and sit in it, thereby desecrating it, declare himself God, demand worship, and institute the 666 mark, igniting a bloodbath against the Jews and against all true God-believing people. That is when he, the Antichrist, now becomes the false prophet, precisely from the middle of that week, because he is now preaching his own kind of religion, which is total obedience to him, as he has now made himself God. From the very beginning of the week, he becomes that Antichrist, who is that promised anti-word man, for he is still pretending to hold to the Christian faith as the Antichrist. However, when the middle of the 70th week of Daniel comes, when he now throws off the robot of God religion and makes himself God, that is when he becomes the false prophet, because the false prophet is he who first gives us the Antichrist. It is in the middle of the 70th week that he will do this, as that is when he will make himself God, thus fulfilling the prophecy Apostle Paul gave back then. But that is not all the prophetic picture, as there are more details to the evil plan of Lucifer. Hence, in verse 5, St. Paul warns, "Remember ye not, that, when I was yet with you, I told you these things." This statement lets us know that in his sermon to the saints, he had broken down this prophetic subject matter. Hallelujah! No doubt, he would have used many words and messages to fully lay it out. However, it is the revelatory gist of that message, which was put in the Holy Scriptures, that constitutes part of the inspired word. Are you with me? If we had to take his literal messages or sermons on it, there would no doubt be mistakes, innocent mistakes, and slips of tongue in them, for that is common to man. But the portion of that message which God put into the scripture is what constitutes the inspired writing, part of the sacred texts. Therefore, we should see that it is not every word that he uttered in his sermons in that day, when he was telling them about the coming man of sin, that made its way into the Holy Scriptures. He must have used so many words and so many examples to project the truth of this subject matter, but they did not go in the scriptures. However, the part of his message that found its way into the Holy Scripture is the inspired Word of God. As I said before, if we had to take his messages, the literal sermons that he preached on this topic or on other topics for that matter, There would no doubt be many mistakes in them, such as slips of tongue and innocent misstatements, because that is the lot of mortal men, regardless of the measure of anointing anyone receives. We all make such mistakes, innocent mistakes, and slips of tongue, but it is the revelation of the divine scriptural thought that a man is presenting that you need to follow, and that is what is infallible. Therefore, the slips of tongues and innocent misstatements do not take away the purity of Apostle Paul's revelation of Jesus Christ, because the purity of a message is not determined by those human mistakes, but by the wholesomeness of the revelation of the Bible that it carries. For in spite of whatever innocent mistakes St. Paul may have made, his message is still pure and infallible, being the exclusive foundation of our faith, the true revealed faith of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 11, Galatians 1, verse 8 to the 12th. Of May, I also add that by the grace of God, we are also bearing a pure message, a pure Bible message, a continued message of the Word. I just wanted to highlight this issue, to give understanding to God's people as to how to consider the things they hear, for we are not following the mere words and letters used, but a revelation, a divine revelation, the revelation of the Holy Bible. We will move on by retaking 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Remember ye not, that, when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholdeth that he, the man of sin, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. So, something was holding the devil from manifesting his man of sin in the day, and the same thing is still holding him from being able to bring him aboard at the head of the European Union, even as we speak this day. But pay attention to verse 7, which plainly reveals, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Even in the day, in that hour of time, way back then around 54 AD, Satan had already started the mystery of iniquity. And what exactly is the mystery of iniquity, which Satan sets in motion right from the days of Apostle Paul, right from the first church age? For no sooner had God launched his church, Satan also jumped on his horse, the white horse, and launched his move as well, a parallel move, which gives us the mystery of iniquity. And what is this mystery? It is Satan's secret but crafty workings to take over Christendom. Because we must not forget his ultimate ambition recorded in Isaiah 14. But exactly how did he start this mysterious iniquity move? This brings us straight to Revelation chapter 6, from verse 1. And I saw when the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, opened one of the seals in heaven, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, which is the baritone voice of God. One of the four beasts, the lion spirit, the king of the jungle, saying to the apostolic ministry of the first church age, the guardians of the true faith of Jesus Christ, come and see, vindicating the truth that the Spirit of God had set forth his plan of redemption, going ahead of the devil, before Satan now made his own move, his first move, setting his mystery of iniquity in motion. But what exactly did the devil do in that day? Verse 2 gives it to us, stating, and I saw, and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, but no arrow, without any arrows, and a crown was given unto him, much later, and he, the spirit of the Antichrist, went forth conquering, and to conquer, yet, without any arrows, as he used deception to bluff his way through. Brothers and sisters, this is the mystery of iniquity being set in motion, and it is to take over Christendom. And this move gives us the white horse rider, which is the spirit of the Antichrist, having a bow, but without an arrow, and yet, he went conquering, being the master of deception. It is the spirit of Satan, the spirit of the Antichrist, going forth, moving in deception in the early church, presenting error as truth, and truth as error, deceiving or revelating souls. That is why St. Paul warned the saints in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, declaring, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The greatest of all the deceitful workers is the pontiff of Rome, who calls himself the vicar of Christ, a self-acclaimed successor to the office of Apostle Peter, a man who does not believe or possess one iota of the truths of the Holy Bible, which the apostolic office of St. Peter was used to establish and uphold for the true body of Christ. What a fraud! Brothers and sisters, we can see that from the days of Apostle Paul, the mystery of iniquity was already at work. Therefore, we have to stay with the pure and undiluted Word of God, because that is the only place of safety, and moreover, it is the light that manifests darkness. It is the Word of God that exposes and dispels darkness. Consequently, we need to stay with the true message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, for all other grounds have been overtaken by the spirit of the Antichrist, which is the spirit of deception, for deception is his master tool. We are making a point, brothers and sisters, that from the days of St. Paul, Satan had already started his moving a parallel, setting in motion the mystery of iniquity. And what is this move to accomplish? It is to secretly and craftily take over Christendom, using deception, falsehood, untruths, as his main tool. Open your eyes. We must just not forget that the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 14 is hanging. For Lucifer wants to sit also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. He wants to be like the Most High God. Satan had already established a global political structure long before the birth of the church, which constitutes spiritual Mount Zion. But he had not yet been able to take over God's kingdom, and he wants to take it over, as that is his ultimate evil ambition, to be like the Most High God. Consequently, he waited for God to establish his church, setting her in motion. And as God launched the church, Satan also got on a white horse and launched his move, the move of the Antichrist. That is why St. Paul warned that the mystery of iniquity doth already work in the day. What is the mystery of iniquity? It is the secret and silent but crafty working of Satan to take over Christendom. I ask again for the sake of emphasizing this truth. What is the mystery of iniquity? It is the secret and silent but crafty working of Lucifer to take over Christendom. However, God lifted the standard of the lion anointing, and as such, in the day, Satan could not have a foothold, although he continued barraging the church. But as long as the original apostles were on the ground, the guidance of the true revealed faith of Christ, the revelation of Jesus which they carried, was too powerful for the spirit of the Antichrist to have a foothold. However, as Jesus revealed in Matthew 13, verse 25, in the parable of the tares, when the apostolic guards were taken off the scene, while men slept, Satan now came in, and so tares, who would eventually take over Christendom, a sad reality that is staring us right in the face today, for indeed, they have taken over Christendom. Saints of God, I am showing you the mystery of iniquity, which is Satan's mystery of achieving his ultimate evil ambition of taking over Mount Zion, both natural and spiritual. Coming back to the white horse he rode in the early church era, when he realized that he could not take over Christendom by mere deception, as it would not work, because of the standard of the spirit of the lion that God had lifted up, he had to change tactics. Therefore, he got off the white horse, as revealed in Revelation 6, and got on a second horse, which is a red horse. He decided, I will kill all of them, and stamp them out, and I will brew up another class of Christians to take over the kingdom of God, and the age of martyrdom was set in motion in the second church age, leading eventually to the death of the early church, coming to the dark ages. We are speaking of the mystery of iniquity, because Satan is going somewhere. It is a silent, secret, but very crafty and most effective working of the spirit of Lucifer to take over Christendom, all because he wants to also sit in the mount of the congregation of God. Eventually, brothers and sisters, he had to accomplish his purpose. That is why I asked in the morning session, how do you crown a spirit, the spirit of the Antichrist? He needed an office, and he needed a man, a vessel, but more than anything else, he first needed to create an office, because men come and men go, but the office remains to the one to whom the office belongs eventually comes, Who is that Antichrist? That man of sin. It is like creating the presidency of a nation. One president goes and another comes, but the office of the presidency of a nation remains. In the same vein, Satan needed an office, a religious office that he can walk through and use as a means of taking over Christendom. We are speaking about the mystery of iniquity tonight, and you must know without any iota of doubt that the Antichrist spirit is strictly a Christian religious spirit. I say that because you cannot take the Antichrist spirit and put it on the Islamic religion, and neither can you take the Antichrist spirit and put it on the Buddhist religion. You cannot even take the Antichrist spirit and put it on a man who does not believe in God, an atheist, because it is strictly a Christian religious spirit. Only it is one that is purely anti the Word of God. For to be Antichrist is to be anti-Word. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 21 to 22, Apostle John states, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son, for that was the issue on ground in that day, thereby letting us know in plain terms that twisting of the truth, or denying of the truth, or preaching untruth, or teaching erroneous things, creeds and dogma, is to be Antichrist, as it is an anti-word spirit, for it is Satan walking in deception, which is falsehood. Period. I repeat, to be Antichrist is to be anti the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, the Antichrist spirit is strictly a Christian religious spirit. But it is of the other side. It is of the devil, strictly being a parallel spirit to that of God. It is just like Cain and Judas, who both worshipped God and walked in the same faith with the other children of God, or so it seemed, but they would not abide in the truth, being seeds of the serpent, seeds of the devil. Brothers and sisters, we are saying something tonight about the mystery of iniquity, something that the Gentile religious world are not even considering. They are not considering it because Christendom is sound asleep. They do not consider the midnight cry. They do not consider the bending of tares and the tare bundlers. They do not consider the great separation. They do not consider anything because they are only building their own empires, which is why Christendom is completely sound asleep. Church, God has sent His light to lighten your pathway out of the darkness of this evil religious world and to keep us from the snares of the devil. Consequently, if you reject this perfect light of the Word of God, you will walk in darkness and perish, and that is the truth. Brothers and sisters, I give this warning because we are looking at something very serious tonight. We are considering Satan's ultimate diabolical agenda, which is his ultimate ambition. Do not forget that from way back then in Babel, he had already established a global political structure, but he also wants to sit on the mount of the congregation in the size of the north, and he has not been able to do that. Therefore, as soon as God produced spiritual Zion, the early church, instantly Satan was on the move. That is why Apostle Paul revealed in his day that the mystery of iniquity doth already walk, even as he was speaking, because the devil is going somewhere. To cut a long story short, eventually, he was able to use his seeds, who had taken over Christendom and had run the true believers underground, to create an organization, a religious organization, one that looks Christian and talks Christian and acts Christian, pretending to be Christian. But unfortunately, it is nothing but a false and wholly apostate deceiving church system, a pagan system, the greatest religious machine of deception that Satan has ever invented, and that is nothing but the Roman Catholic Church organization. I am not talking about the people, I am talking about the religious institution itself, for it is a fraud, the greatest religious fraud that Satan has ever set up, to deceive hundreds of millions of souls to hell. For as of 2010, she is controlling about 1.2 billion souls. That is precisely why there is absolutely not 1 ounce of truth, revealed truth, true Bible doctrines of the early church apostles that can be found within her borders. Not one apostolic truth of the Holy Bible, which is the Word of God, except pagan traditions, carnal ceremonies, creeds, dogma, idolatrous teachings, and sacrilegious doctrines, all things which are contrary to the truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Deny that with your Bible. I would love to see you do it. In the fourth parable of Matthew 13, relating to the fourth church age, the Dark Ages, the Roman Catholic Church is a woman with leaven, who completely fouled up the three-course meal of redemption, the doctrines of justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with her idolatrous mass, her pagan rituals, her creeds and dogma, her seven sacraments, all of which have no iota of redeeming value, but a blatant lies of Satan, the prey through dead so-called saints, contrary to the direct commandment of the Holy Scriptures. For it is Spiritism, as only Jesus Christ is advocate, and the only intercessor between God and man. They baptize infants who cannot believe, and hence, cannot repent, for they are innocent, giving parents a false sense of salvation for their babies. They worship Mary, elevating her reverence above Jesus Christ. They worship and bow before images and relics of all sorts, which is plain idolatry, worshipping pagan deities renamed as Christian Bible figures, and also pray to them, and through them. They practice forced celibacy of their priests, which the Bible calls a doctrine of demons and seducing spirits, and which has only created a great can of worms in the Catholic Church, a litany of grotesque, perverse, immoral acts that stinks to the heavens, most especially pedophilia and homosexuality, for which the Roman Catholic Church, as it stands today, has been fined billions of dollars. Do not forget that we are looking at the mystery of iniquity, Satan's takeover of Christendom. Brothers and sisters, what the Church has done to Bible-believing Christians, particularly in the Dark Ages, going on to the Reformation era, is simply mind-boggling. The way ISIS beheads Christians today is very decent, inhumane in comparison. The way ISIS kills Christians, in comparison to the horrible torture and dastardly ways the Church of Rome has killed Christians in the past, makes a group called ISIS look like saints in comparison, for it is most barbaric, downright demonic, and sadistic to the core. The Church of Rome has invented all sorts of instruments of torture and death, that it is difficult to imagine that an organization that calls herself a Church of God can carry out such satanic and inhuman things. And yet they did so, for they were responsible for slaughtering about 68 million souls. They invented the breast reaper for ripping off, shearing off, women's breasts, the tongue tearer for tearing off the tongue, the breaking wheel for breaking up the bones of a heretic who was tied to the wheel, the iron chair for roasting heretics alive whilst they were seated, the heretic's fork, which is a sharp two-pronged iron instrument with a belt tied firmly to the neck, holding the two forked ends of the metal against the base of the neck, and right under the tongue, keeping the tortured from falling asleep, because the forks dug into the base of the neck, and also into the tongue, the hanger, for hanging people in the most painful and abnormal ways, even adding weights to pull the tortured down, the Judas cradle, to mention a few. And speaking about the Judas cradle, www.medievalchronicles.com has this to say: during the medieval times in Europe, various cruel torture devices were reinvented for different purposes. Most importantly, these devices were reinvented and improved upon when the institution of Inquisition was in full force during the late medieval times. Some of the most brutal torture devices used during this period include brazen bull, scold's bridle, rack, chair of torture, pair of anguish, breast reaper, and others. One of the most brutal and most commonly used devices was called Judas cradle, which was also known by the alternate names of Judas chair and the guided cradle. What was the Judas cradle torture device? Judas cradle consisted of a pyramid-shaped wooden device, and the victim was placed on the top of the pyramid. His or her hands and legs would be tied so that the weight could not be shifted elsewhere. The feet were actually tied with each other with the purpose of increasing the pain whenever there was a movement of feet. The pointed edge of the pyramid was slowly inserted in the anus or vagina of the victim, and the torture could continue from a few hours to entire days. The time, however, also vary from victim to victim depending on various factors other than their own ability to bear the pain. For instance, sometimes a weight was added to the victim's legs which increased the pain but also resulted in quick death. Other times, oil was put on the device which again increased the pain. The Judas Cradle was a torture device that led to a slow, painful death. Who operated the Judas Cradle torture device? There were generally multiple torturers who operated Judas Cradle. One of them would usually be in charge of the affairs with the rest assisting him. The device was invented in the 16th century Spain when the institution of Inquisition was widespread, and new and brutal techniques of torture were being devised. The torturers were given specific amount of money as their fee, and their main task was to extract the required information from the victims. There was one device called the Iron Lady, which was a standing life-sized iron casket, which looked like an Egyptian mummy, completely spiked in its interior with long iron spikes. The heretic was pushed into it, and was forcefully wedged in by closing the door tight mechanically, causing the spikes to pierce through every part of the body, from the back and the front, for it was a severe torture and an execution mechanism. Think about it tonight. And if you think that it is a lie, you are the deceived one. Because you can Google these facts, and you can also read church history. And if you think the Church of Rome has changed, enjoy yourself. We just read tonight in the infallible Word of God what the image of the beast is going to do in this very day and hour, when the beast gives it life. May I remind you that Satan, having earlier established a global political unity structure in Genesis chapter 11, under Nimrod, a global ruler, he could then use that political office to enforce a global religious unity in the Babylonian-based empire, on the pain of death, backed up by the full force of the state, right under Nebuchadnezzar the king, foreshadowing a grim and most horrible reality to come, right here at this same time, in the restored Roman-based empire. That is precisely what lies ahead of this religious world, and we will declare this truth from the rooftop to the bride of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, a global wave of martyrdom and of saints is coming. A serious bloodbath is coming for the true believers of God. And it is thus here the Lord Jesus Christ in his prophetic revelation, as contained in the Holy Bible. So, what are you talking about? That is what the image of the beast is going to do in this 21st century, which is why we are going down the road of church history. To let you see exactly how Satan has moved in the beast's empires, and what his ultimate goal is. Come on! And as long as you are not interested in the truth, you will believe a lie, and be damned at the end of the road. Remember though, that we are not talking about the people in that system or organization. But we are talking about a system of religion that is purely of the devil, because it is counterfeit Christianity, and it is a system that the devil has devised to take over Christendom, creating a world church. The devil can do this and get away with it, because he knows that people love deception, and they have no love for the truth. All they have is just a mere religious spirit, for they are exactly like Cain. All that evil organization ever cares about is how to acquire political power, when the church has no business with politics. That is why Pope Paul III established the Jesuit order in September 1540 AD, under the leadership of Ignatius de Loyola, a Spanish soldier who became a priest, to create a counter-reformation, and we can see just how successful this counter-reformation has been, because all the Protestants have now come back home to Mama Rome, every last one of them. That is precisely why the Protestant denominations are now regretting the Reformation, and they are damning Martin Luther. This so-called Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, brothers and sisters, are very smart, highly intelligent, and extremely militant men, who constitute the secret service and the mercenary arm of the Church of Rome, perfectly thought to infiltrate and take over all sectors of human life, religious, political, economic, and social, to discredit, destabilize, neutralize, and kill all those who oppose the bid of the Roman Catholic Church for world domination, using all sorts of means and using all sorts of fronts, including the Illuminati. The Illuminati, which the Jesuits have taken over, is an evil secret organization, and is what the Jesuits have used to take over the banking and economic sector, the education sector, the media sector, and the sports and entertainment sectors of the Western world, including America. The Jesuits are the most diabolical group of men that exist on this planet, headed by the Black Pope. And may I remind you that the present Pope Francis was a Jesuit, and the previous Pope Ratzinger, Pope Benedict XVI, was the head of the Inquisitors, that evil institution that killed tens of millions of Bible believers in the Dark Ages, whom they branded as heretics, for he was the Grand Inquisitor before becoming Pope. Wake up, saints. Brothers and sisters, all that the Church of Rome seeks is nothing but world power, world domination, which he will wield with the iron power that he is made of, viciously crushing all his opposition. The book of Daniel chapter 7, verse 7, reveals the fourth beast of Rome, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, which Daniel 2:33 says is part of iron and part of clay, giving us in prophecy what the European Union will do at this same time, right under the leadership of the Pope, because the papacy is as mean as hell. And to show you just how powerful he is currently, as of 2017, when he travels, he is escorted by two fighter jets, one on each side of his plane, for even a little fly is not allowed to come near his plane. And not only that, but on September the 24th, 2015, after being met on arrival, right on the tarmac, by President Barack Obama and his wife, Michelle, he addressed the joint session of the Congress of the United States, and then, the following day, September the 25th, 2015, he also addressed the United Nations General Assembly at the United Nations General Assembly Hall in New York City, and all because the papacy is a recognized and highly revered global power. He is the political and religious head of the Vatican City State, a city within the city of Rome, and a state within the state of Italy, referred to in prophecy as that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Revelation 17, verse 18. Brothers and sisters, the popes claim apostolic succession from St. Peter, but where are the Bible doctrines of St. Peter in all the false and glaringly anti-Bible doctrines that the Church of Rome peddles till this very day, with great impudence, insolence, and by falsely and deceptively claiming apostolic succession? It simply means that the Church of Rome see the chief apostolic ministry position occupied by St. Peter over the Jewish ministry in the day, and they wanted his position, which they usurped, but not his scriptural message of life, which is why they stand in firm, consistent, and continuous opposition to the doctrines of Jesus Christ that Apostle Peter laid down for us in the Holy Scriptures. Now tell me, how can you truly be a Christian, but everything you establish and give the people to observe is nothing but leaven, total falsehood, nothing but that which contradicts and nullifies the very word of God which makes a person a Christian in truth? They say their organization is Christian, but there is not one Bible doctrine that they believe or teach. What is the spirit behind that, if not the spirit of the Antichrist? In John 8, verse 47, Jesus Christ declared plainly and categorically, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Exactly. So, if, as they falsely claim, the Church of Rome is of God, then why do they not believe the Holy Word of God? Why do they condemn the Holy Word of God as heresy, and the believers of it as heretics? Remember, we are not talking about Jews who are stuck in the Old Testament, and who, as such, cannot see the New Testament, for which reason they call the New Testament's revealed way heresy. We are talking about Christian so-called, supposed believers of the New Testament, who are calling the believers of the New Testament scriptures heretics. Think about it. So, I ask again, why do they condemn the Holy Word of God as heresy, and the believers of it as heretics? Why did they burn Bible believers as heretics throughout the Dark Ages and the Reformation, with the various inquisitions? The Roman Catholic Church has butchered about 68 million souls. No wonder, When Apostle John saw her in the Spirit in a prophetic preview, he was perplexed, as Revelation chapter 17, verse 6 reveals. And I saw the woman, the great whore, verse 1, drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration, because he could not believe his eyes. Saints of the living God, they do not believe the Holy Scriptures. They never have, and they never will, simply because they are not of God. Period. That is hard, but it is a fair comment. Nonetheless, being the absolute truth, one that is scripturally incontestable. Because it is written, He that is of God heareth the word of God. Therefore, they hear them not because they are not of God. Full stop. Remember, Satan wants to take over Christendom, which is the world church, and he has already accomplished that, seeing that they are engaged to him. It is the official marriage to Lucifer that remains when the image of the beast is empowered to speak by being given what is prophetically called life. That is why we are taking this message about the image of the beast, for it is to make a loud cry to those who have an ear to hear. This is a battle cry for the deliverance of souls. That is why I am showing you the mystery of iniquity, to keep you from the pathway of death. Saints, listen closely. Lucifer had to first create a religious organization, the very first one, which is the Roman Catholic Church, over which he could set up an office, a global religious structure, the papacy, which would be the counterfeit office to the position Jesus occupies over his mystical universal church body, and having established this global spiritual office, he would then merge it with the global political office structure that he had already established, the office of the emperors, thereby investing in that one office both temporal and religious powers over the world, the Roman-based world. That religious office of the bishop of Rome that Satan eventually created, the papacy, was what could now be crowned, as pope after pope was seeked on it, till the man of sin, the son of perdition, comes to take over the global religious office, setting in motion the last week of Daniel. Therefore, having established this global religious Christian office, the papacy, it would be a matter of time before he merged with the global political office that was already in existence, and eventually, with the Roman-based empire having broken down in the Dark Ages, the Bishop of Rome took over the seat of the emperors of Rome, but still ruling from the Vatican, making the papal office one that is now invested with both temporal as well as religious powers over the Roman Empire, also called the Holy Roman Empire. An empire that had been ruled by emperors was now being ruled by popes. They tried to eradicate true believers, and even emperors like Charlemagne used his military force, the state military, to move from town to town, forcing mass conversion into the Roman Catholic Church on the pain of death, intending to foster the apostate system over the world to make everyone a Catholic, although he did this falsely believing he was making Christians out of them. Look at it. Almost the whole of South America are Roman Catholic, simply because Queen Isabella of Spain promised to make them all Catholics if the Pope gave her license to take South America, and he did. And they plundered the continent all for the Church of Rome, which is why all of the South American nations are as poor can be. That is why they all want to emigrate and live in the United States, and that is not possible. Leaving that aside, brothers and sisters, the objective of the Church of Rome is to be the only Christian church on earth, but they just cannot stamp out the true Bible believers, although they tried all they could. That is because God is sovereign, and the truth of God moves on. Nonetheless, they willfully and erroneously teach, even as we speak today in 2017, as Pope Francis just said publicly on June the 25th, 2014, that there is no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church, and further, that one cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, as that is dangerous and harmful. He declared plainly and categorically, sometimes you may hear someone say, I believe in God, in Jesus, but the Church of Rome, I don't care. How many times have we heard this? This is wrong. In other words, it is wrong not to believe in the Roman Catholic Church. Listen to what Pope Francis now stated. There are those who believe you can have a personal, direct and immediate relationship with Jesus Christ outside of the communion and mediation of the Church of Rome. These temptations are dangerous and harmful. They are, in the words of the great Pope Paul VI, absurda quod omnes. Did you hear that blasphemy? The man has overturned God's entire plan of redemption with that anti-Bible statement. It is, however, acceptably okay for the Pope of Rome to utter such apostate and blasphemous statements in public, but when we show him out for who he truly is by the Holy Scriptures, they call it hate preaching. These hypocrites. So, speaking with regards to the statement Pope Francis made, in effect, and in the eyes of the Roman Catholic Church, what does that make the entire Christian world? It makes them Roman Catholics, as they see themselves as the Mother Church, and they refer to themselves as the Mother Church. That is why they boldly teach that there is no other way to be saved, except by the Church of Rome, which is nothing but a blatant lie of the spirit of the Antichrist. That was why the Church of Rome tried very hard to stamp out the true Christians. The Bible believers, who they blasphemously called heretics, so that they could be the only church. However, they could not succeed in this evil bid, because God must also have his church, the church of his dreams. Consequently, the Reformation broke out, the Protestant Reformation. May I add that the Protestant movement was not Satan's move or plan. It was strictly God's move. However, it also led to the creation of different religious organizations, organized churches, Protestant denominations, just like the Church of Rome, which is the first organized church. For once each move had accomplished God's objective of restoring the truth or truths. Once each move had served God's purpose, the devil also joined the bandwagon and inspired them to organize themselves. The Protestant Reformation movement, which God initiated, and which broke the ranks of the Roman Catholic Church, is what motivated the devil to make a counter-move at this end time. This end time counter-move of Satan is designed to bring back the lost flock of the Church of Rome, by which means a one-world church will be accomplished under the umbrella of the Church of Rome, called the World Council of Churches. And because membership of the World Church Council requires implicitly, indirectly, the compromising of the truths upon which the Protestant churches were founded, this makes all of them Catholics in effect, for in spiritual essence, they are back in the fold of Mama Rome. In short, a world church is accomplished under the umbrella of Mama, the Church of Rome, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Do not forget that the devil got on a white horse for one main purpose, and that was to conquer. As it is written, he went forth conquering and to conquer. But I ask you, exactly what did he set forth to conquer? It was not a political conquest. He went forth to conquer Christendom, for he was after the true church. That was why he changed tactics when mere deception did not work, and he tried to kill the true Christians, running them underground, using the Roman Catholic Church organization that he had established to do the job, which was precisely why the true believers worship in catacombs, in caves, and in mountains. Since, from the 3rd century of Christendom, which brings us to the hour of Emperor Constantine, and all through the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, 312-1517 AD, it was the Roman Catholic Church that the world saw as being Christian. However, it is Satan's counterfeit church. That was all the world saw in that day, and that was all they knew as Christianity. And that was why Emperor Charlemagne, also known as Charles the Great, who took it upon himself to be the guardian of the papacy, used the army to forcibly Christianize Western Europe, zealously going from town to town, and from village to village, and whoever refused to become a Roman Catholic was simply beheaded. And when all you see as Christianity is the Church of Rome, with all her great pomp and pageantry, and with all of the world's dignitaries, the royal families, the Hollywood stars, the sports celebrities, the business moguls, the chief executive offices of blue-chip companies, and the heads of states around the world, particularly these powerful Western heads of states, all going to the Vatican to bow to the Pope and kiss his ring, Just how are you now going to fall for her? Particularly when you consider the 1.2 billion souls under his pastoral care, all under his global parish, having so many countries and countless heads of states within that enormous population. All who hold unquestionable loyalty and submission to the Pope's authority, why on earth would you think that the papacy is not of God, if you do not have a divine scriptural revelation? Come on! So, you can understand why from 500 AD, particularly coming to the era of Emperor Charlemagne, right through the Middle Ages, people were held bound under the spell of the Church of Rome, for she was erroneously seen as a Church of God, as that was all the people saw as Christianity, in the long period of time, which was Satan's millennium. God allowed the devil to do so much, and then, he stepped on the scene, and the Reformation broke out in 1517, and the bright trademark for verse 28 started its long, slow, but steady and gradual process of reproduction. And once God had used a move of the Reformation to carry a truth, restoring a truth on earth, God allowed the spirit of the Antichrist to take it over, and another organized church was formed on the earth, on the Bridery. Whilst God moved on with a new Reformation move, which carried another truth. However, because the children of God were also in these organizations, God still worked within and through them till harvest time, in order to preserve the lives of his seeds in these systems of religion. That is precisely why all blades remain green, showing the evidence of life, till the harvest time, now at this end time, with all the Reformation Protestant denominational churches on the ground, the collective blade, with the Pentecostal organizations having also been formed, giving us the air, or shock, all on the Bridery, and all have himself God's purpose, both blade and air, the mystery of iniquity, how to enter its final phase, for their bundling, as God needs only pure seeds. Consequently, following the end of the Second World War, the spirit of the Antichrist jumped on a pale horse, a gray horse, and the ecumenism drive was ignited. However, before the devil could set the horse in motion, the Spirit of God had already lifted up a standard, the standard of a flying eagle, through the ministry of the end-time Elijah, to warn the bride of Jesus Christ of Satan's imminent move of death. And Brother Branham cried out, "With us seeth the Lord," declaring to the bride camp, and to whomsoever has ears to hear, "Stay away from the world council of churches, for it is the image of the beast." This brings us back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we want to consider the balance of the prophetic scripture dealing with the mystery of iniquity. So, let us go there, as we want to consider the logistics of how Lucifer achieves his evil desire, which prophet Isaiah brought out in chapter 14, as it all leads to the image of the beast. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning from verse 7, states, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In the early church age, only he who now letteth, he who now hinders the Antichrist, will hinder, or restrain the Antichrist, until he be taken out of the way." In other words, he who now hinders the Antichrist will hinder, and who is hindering the devil from manifesting his man, the man of sin, who keeps hindering, restraining, the Antichrist spirit. Who is he? He that is hindering the devil from producing his super prince. He there refers to the Holy Ghost in the bride, for it is the presence of the Holy Ghost in the bride, working God's perfect will for the elect bride, till she attains a perfect spiritual shape, in full readiness for the rapture, that is keeping Satan at bay, and is limiting what he can do on earth, in Christendom, because God is sovereign. Since, as we speak today, on account of the bride, God is holding back the conditions that can bring on the Antichrist, conditions that men are trying to force, conditions they now have in place, for regardless of what men plan to do, and regardless of what the devil does, the will of God for the bride supersedes all things. Praise God! This scripture should give comfort to all God's children, when we see the great evil that has engulfed the world we now live in. But when the bride gets in shape, ready for a translation into heaven, the Holy Spirit of God will move out of the way, removing his restraining order, and tell Lucifer, "Now over to you, accomplish your desire. You have a short time in which to do it. So, do what you will." Satan then takes over, And what does St. Paul say will be the effect of God removing his restraining presence? Brothers and sisters, I can see a gigantic global chaos with an unprecedented global economic collapse, total collapse, ignited on the earth, forcing the ten horns to bring the man of sin on board as a head of the European Union, with the nation of Israel signing the false peace and economic pact with the Antichrist. Verse 8 declares, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, as a head of the European superstates, the head of the Roman base empire, whom the Lord, Jesus, shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, on the day of the Lord, immediately after the end of the 70th week, when Jesus Christ returns to establish the millennium, even him, the Antichrist, the man of sin, whose coming is after the working of Satan, being Satan's major plan, as the principal vessel he will use, his heir apparent, and hence, the one he will incarnate, investing him with the fullness of his demonic anointing, in order to fulfill his ultimate evil ambition, recorded in Isaiah 14, with all power, or authority of Satan, and signs and lying wonders, deceiving wonders, figurative signs and wonders. Verse 10, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why? "Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they do not have the love of the truth of God, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie of Lucifer, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Brothers and sisters, the revealed truth of the word of Christ is your security, and if you offend the truth, you offend your soul. It is your soul that you offend when you offend the truth. Proverbs 8 verse 35 to 36. "So, do what you will with the truth of the word of God, for it is your choice. Your eternal destiny is in your hands." The material point, brothers and sisters, is that the Antichrist will step on the scene in the day, setting the 70th week in motion, knowing that his days are literally numbered, having only 7 years of that week left, 7 years of 360 days each. Brothers and sisters, we can all clearly see the mystery of iniquity, and as we sit here today, the Lord God is the one withholding Satan from fulfilling his earnest desire, and it is because of you and me, who make up the bride of Christ. Nevertheless, the fact remains that the mystery of iniquity is now coming to its ending point, its final phase, and it is precisely where Satan is going to take over Christendom. That is why he established the image of the beast, which we laid out this morning. The image of the beast is now a global religious structure, bringing together all faiths in Christendom, regardless of their differences. Because Satan's ambition is not to seek in Saudi Arabia, but upon the mount of the congregation, specifically in the sides of the north. How many see the point? It is not to seek in Saudi Arabia. The devil is not interested in that place, because he knows what is there, and there is nothing there. What he is looking for is to take over Jerusalem, God's own city. Both spiritual Jerusalem, as well as natural Jerusalem. This is the mystery of iniquity. Open your eyes. This lets you see without a shadow of doubt, scripturally speaking, that the World Council of Churches, the WCC, which gives us the world church, belongs absolutely to Satan. It is Satan's bride, whether they like it or not, and we will preach this truth upon the housetops, because it is the word of the living God, laid out in great detail in the Holy Scriptures. And may I warn, that just as it is written, the end of the world church is a lake of fire, which is why the Spirit of God is warning honestly, stay away from the image of the beast. And 2, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But the end of apostate Christianity is like a fire. That is precisely why the pale horse rider is riding that horse, for he is riding it straight to the lake, gathering and pulling everything that is not of God along with him. Brother Amos points to the chart. And what is the body of that horse? What is its composition? You know it already. It is Protestantism plus Catholicism. But who is riding it? Who is the rider of the grey horse? It is the Pope of Rome, for the seat on the back of the pale horse is reserved. It is the office of the rider, and it is exclusively the office of the Vatican. That was why in 1963, Pope John the 23rd jumped on that horse, deceptively took the prayer of Jesus Christ, and proclaimed to Christendom, "Let us be one." Why are we fighting one another? We must come together in the ecumenic spirit to fulfill the desire of Jesus Christ, making a carnal and diabolical appeal. And now, with the great persecution Christians are facing around the world every day, it gives them a good basis to bond together the more. They have forgotten that true Christianity was born in adversity and remains so, even today. Do you not know what the scripture says? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, Apostle Paul declared, "For I think that God hath set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men." Why is this so? Because of the message of life they carry, the true message of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, which the seeds of darkness, the children of the world, who are ruled by the prince of the power of the air, hate with a passion, making them seriously persecute the carriers of truth, even as St. Paul revealed in Acts chapter 24, verse 14, proclaiming, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." Saints, this revealed way has always been a persecuted way. Just look at the heroes of faith that are laid out in God's Hall of Fame, as revealed in Hebrews chapter 11. But only taking verses 35 to 38, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, serious trials, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. Think about that. Even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when he was born, they tried to kill him, and God had to hide him in Africa, right here in the tabernacles of Ham, and here he dwelt safely. But the point is this: do you know how many children died in the day because of him? Do you know how many babies died at the hands of the Roman beast just because of one little baby, the Son of God? Church, Satan has not changed. And do not forget, the same satanic onslaught by the Roman beast is staring us right in the face today. For it is the same Roman beast that Jesus Christ and the early church saints faced in their day, for we are still in the days of the fourth and last beast. Did they accept the Messiah when he was born, and when he came into his office? Did they roll out a red carpet for him as the head of state, and welcome him at the airport, with full military honors, and a military parade? Did the Swiss guards form his security retinue? Was he guarded by the royal guards of King Herod? Oh no! Brothers and sisters, open your eyes, because you can be in something from which you may never get out. I have something for the Branham movement tonight. Brothers and sisters, I am making a serious point, for the mystery of iniquity is how the devil eventually takes over Christendom, and that is precisely why Christendom is in absolute apostasy as we speak. They have completely thrown away the authority of the Holy Bible, and have turned the word of the Almighty God into a historical book. One that is meant only for the Dark Ages, a book that has no meaning to them, and no application to them, and a book whose authority does not matter, for it does not bind them. They do what they like, they preach and teach what they like, they believe what they like, they worship how they like, and as they like, they will also end up in hell, and that is their choice. Brothers and sisters, make no mistake about this. The end of apostate Christendom is the lake of fire, because the only remedy for apostasy is death in the lake of fire. That is why we are one group of people that will never join the Christian Association of Nigeria, or the National Church Council. We will never join the World Council of Churches. And not one penny of us will go to their cause either, because we will never support the cause of Lucifer. For it is written, "They cannot walk together unless they agree." And there is no agreement whatsoever between light and darkness. Let them mark us. We are not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. We are proud of our God and of His Son Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we are proud of His Word. We are bold to declare before the whole world that we are sticklers for the Holy Scriptures, that we are Bible believers, and we say that whilst walking at all, let the devil rage, and let the kingdoms roar, and do whatever they like, but we will firmly stay with the Holy Scriptures, and if necessary, we will die on it, because we will rise on it, for it has the power of eternal resurrection. Amen. This world is not our home. Brothers and sisters, we want to move up a notch in the presentation of our message on the image of the beast, having laid out the mystery of iniquity. Because the end realization of that evil objective is the image of the beast. Therefore, speaking with regards to the image of the beast, recorded in Revelation chapter 13, and having scripturally shown what the image of the beast is, we ask a second question. Which beast? That is the question we now want to answer, and it is the second phase of this message, having fully and scripturally answered our first main question, which was, what image? On our chart, we also asked a question, which beast? That is the material question, which beast? In other words, whose image does the image of the beast constitute? We have to ask this question, because the word beast has four main applications, four main attributes, speaking with strict reference to the Roman base empire. That is why we must ask, which beast? Is the image of the beast carrying that of the political empire, which is the European Union beast? Because in Revelation 13, verse 1, where we see the ten-horned beast with seven heads, which is the fourth and final beast empire, that verse gives us nothing but the political structure, which is the European Union. So, in Revelation 13, verse 1, the word beast refers to the Roman-based political empire. Are you listening to me? Sometimes, the word beast is also used to convey the spirit of the dragon, Lucifer, who controls everything, and we may wonder whether the image of the beast is with respect to the spirit of Satan. That is why, in relation to the image of the beast, we are asking, which beast? Which particular aspect of the Roman beast is this image depicting? I will not leave the knowledge of this issue to chance, and assume that you all know what that is, because a lot of crazy so-called revelations are being peddled out there. So, we must ask again, which beast? Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the particular aspect or attribute of the beast which the image represents or reflects is determinable. It is scripturally determinable. Since, when we look at the fourth horse rider on our chart, the pale horse rider, the rider gives us an office established on that horse, a religious office whose rider is crowned, regardless of whoever sits on it. Do not forget that Pope John the 23rd rode on this horse, and the current Pope Francis is now also riding that horse, for the office of its rider is the papacy. Pope John the 23rd moved in a big way to push ecumenism, and the present Pope Francis is galloping seriously with that agenda as well, moving Christendom together, and a great host of the Pentecostal evangelical leaders have now come on board, men like Kenneth Copeland, James Robertson, John Arnott, Brian Stiller, etc., have even dined with the Pope in the Vatican, and have gone to Rome to bow. Go and Google the images of the evangelical leaders who have united with the Pope. And you must see that something is going on. If you know the history of the Pentecostals, with regards to their stand against the papacy, somebody compromised big time, and it is certainly not the Pope. How many understand? For two cannot walk together unless they agree. So, what is the concord about, if not a big time compromise, plainly showing that these men have lost their vision? In a tract published by Chick Publications, titled, Truth Compromise is Still a Lie, David W. Daniels has this to say, and please note that all emphasis is mine, any compromise between truth and a lie is also a lie. So, actually, if you talk about which side wins, the lie wins out, because a lie is always a lie. It never becomes the truth. Truth compromise is still a lie. In the last paragraphs, he added, This is why dialogue will never work when you have the truth. Dialogue only works with two people who don't have the truth. One lie synthesized into another lie comes up with a compromise lie. What's the difference? Because both are lies anyway. We must stand firm and persuade others of the truth of God's words and doctrines, perfectly preserved in the King James Bible. We must never compromise this truth with the devil's or man's lies. Never. I believe this quote, brothers and sisters, for it is the wholesome truth. Saints, do you not know what Apostle John seriously admonished true Bible believers? In 2 John verses 9 to 11, he strongly warned, whosoever transgresseth, and abideth not in the doctrine, a collective noun for the plural doctrines of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, his total teachings, the doctrines of Christ, hath not God. Period. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now watch, if there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Full stop. That is the gospel truth. For we have not been called to compromise on the message of life eternal, which Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior gives. But what do we find today, so typical of the papacy, the seat of the man of sin? Church. The present Pope Francis is working feverishly for ecumenism, and he is even bringing the leaders of other religions like Islam, Buddhism, Sikhism, Taoism, etc., to the Vatican for ecumenical meetings, asking each of them to pray to their respective gods in that meeting. For what use has the devil with truth, when he is a father of lies, and he abides not in truth, as truth is foreign and anti his spiritual constitution? He is working so feverishly for ecumenism, because he is the grey horse rider. Popes come and popes go, but the papal office of the man of sin remains until that Antichrist comes. By now, you must all be certain of exactly who the pale horse rider is, and what the body of this horse represents, what it constitutes, how it is made up. As that should already be plain to everyone. But in order to settle the truth that the Pope is the pale horse rider, and that the body of this horse is made up of Protestantism, which is the entire Protestant denominational world, plus Roman Catholicism, which together gives us the world church, and in case anyone is still unsure, now listen to this. Point 1. The Pope is the grey horse rider, because the rider speaks of the office of the man through whom the spirit of the Antichrist was eventually crowned on the white horse, and an office holding global religious power, and through which the man of sin, Satan's super prince, will come forth, and that is nothing but the papacy. Do not forget that it was through that office that Satan took over the political leadership of the Roman-based empire, and an empire that was ruled by emperors was now ruled by the papacy, for it was through that office that Satan has accomplished his objective of having global political power fused with global religious power. Point 2. The Pope is the grey horse rider, and the body of this horse is made up of Protestantism plus Catholicism, because the Bishop of Rome is the indisputable global head of the world church. And since we all know, and it is a notorious fact, that the Roman Catholic Church is not a member of the World Council of Churches, and yet, the papacy is the head of the global Christian world, and is received around the entire globe on this basis, then I ask you, what makes up the body of the grey horse that the beast man is riding, if it does not include the Roman Catholic Church? Therefore, you must see that the Roman Catholic Church, though not a member of the WCC, is an integral part of this horse, because the Pope is the head of the world church, and through him, the devil is ruling the global world of organized religion, which is the world church. Period. Putting it another way, the body of this horse gives us the WCC plus the Roman Catholic Church, and that gives us the world church. Case closed. Saints of the living God, we are asking a material question, which is, what aspect of the Roman beast does this image represent or reflect? Which beast? That is what we are trying to answer, as that is the issue. Brothers and sisters, the aspect of the Roman beast that the image reflects, an image being a reflection of something, is the Pope, the Roman-based man, for it is his image. That is the principal object of his characterization that we must note, for that is the principal reflection that the image carries. It is a reflection or image of the Pope. However, do not also forget that the Pope is the head of a religious organization, which is the Roman-based system, the Roman Catholic Church. This woman over here, the great whore. Brother Amos points to the chart. Therefore, they are one, for their spiritual image is one, because their spirit is one. This means, in effect, that the image of the beast is also characterizing or reflecting the image of the apostate Roman Catholic Church. The image of the beast is perfectly reflecting the image of the woman whom the Holy Bible calls, in Revelation 17, verses 1 and 5, the great whore, and Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the mother of all apostate Protestant denominations, and abominations, pollutions of the earth. Therefore, if indeed she is the pollutions or abominations of the earth, and Jesus Christ revealed that she is, then she is responsible for the evil and apostate spiritual constitution of the image of the beast, an apostate and evil global religious organization called the World Council of Churches, which is the image of the beast. That is why she is prophetically referred to as the mother of harlots, harlot Protestant churches. For they are spiritual women, seeing that woman types church in Bible prophecy, just as Eve, a woman, the wife of the first Adam, types the true church, the bride of Jesus Christ. Moreover, we all know that our daughter, being the offspring of a woman, is in the very image and likeness of that woman, and consequently, on the full authority of Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 and 5, you must also see that the WCC is reflecting the spiritual image of the apostate Roman-based religious system, which is the Roman Catholic Church, the abominations, or pollutions, of the earth, the pollutions of the earth's entire religious systems. That is precisely why she is the woman portrayed riding on the back of the European beast, the ten-horned Roman beast, in Revelation 17, verses 3 and 7, through her head, which is the papacy, which is the mystical, religious, head of the ten-horned beast referred to in verse 11 as the eighth head, the eighth king. The Lord helped us to lay out the truth about this eighth head. In the Scribe magazine, titled The Seven Mountains of Revelation 17, brothers and sisters, whether it is from the standpoint of the Church of Rome being the mother of harlots, all hallowed churches, all organized churches, all unfaithful and apostate churches, or from the fact that she is the abominations of the earth, or even from the standpoint of the fact that she is a religious system of the Roman-based empire, whose spiritual image is majorly being characterized by the Roman-based man, you must all agree with me that, scripturally speaking, the image of the beast is also in the image of the Roman Catholic Church. You are looking at the apostate religious systems of the World Church Council, standing in the perfect image of the greatest apostate religious system on this earth, the abominations of the earth, and that is the Roman Catholic Church. Yes. Now listen to this. Not only is the dragon, the spirit of Lucifer, reflected in the Church of Rome, the first organized church he ever established on this planet, which is his church, but he is also reflected in the World Church Council, for that is also his. And with the constitution of the body of the gray horse, Satan's ultimate evil ambition is realized, as this makes him God over the entire apostate Christendom. Therefore, you have to see that the image of Lucifer is reflected in everything as well, for he is the spirit behind everything, whichever aspect of the Roman base you are looking at. And Satan is inherently and completely anti-truth. Therefore, everything of his, everything having his spirit, must also be anti-truth, reflecting the evil spiritual image of Lucifer, just as the elect bride is also reflecting the image of Jesus Christ ahead, and that of God as well, because it is the Spirit of God in Christ, and it is the same Spirit that is also in the bride. Therefore, let every eagle of God understand that the image of the beast is also the image of the Roman Catholic Church. Now listen closely to this. Since a woman, the Roman Catholic Church, is riding on the back or controlling the ten-horned Roman-based empire, through her head, the Pope, The papacy, and the papacy being who majorly characterizes her evil and apostate spirit, the papacy being the determinant of her beliefs, and hence, the determinant of her spiritual state, therefore, the image of the beast is the image of the beast man. And indeed, the image of the beast has to be the image of the beast man, as a head of the beast system, one who carries the fullness of the evil and apostate spirit of Lucifer, which is invested in the Roman beast system, the Roman Catholic Church. How many see the point? Let me prove it to you by the word, for it is just like the spirit of the flying eagle that is invested in the end-time bride, but was also characterized majorly by the ministry of the Elijah prophet to the bride, and subsequently. It was characterized majorly by the successive household scribes the Lord appointed for the bride, beginning with the chief apostle, now followed by the lead apostle John. Please come with me to the Holy Scriptures, for we are on holy ground. When we come to Daniel chapter 3, the image of the Babylonian beast, which is depicted on our chart, was set in place by the head of the empire, King Nebuchadnezzar. Are you listening to me? He caused that image to be built in that day, although his workings were done openly, as it was a physical image, constituting physical idolatry. Now coming to this end time, in the Roman-based empire that we are faced with today, the European Union, the image of the beast on our chart, which is the WCC, and its spiritual idolatry, was also orchestrated by the papacy, the Roman-based man, working secretly behind the scenes, seeking ways of bringing denominational Christianity together, and eventually bringing them back home under the domain of the Church of Rome. And once image was formed in August 1948, the Pope now openly came out to support the ecumenical movement, because it is his image, one that he has secretly and craftily orchestrated. That is why tonight, the Roman Catholic Church is not a member of the World Council of Churches, although she sits on every General Assembly and Council meeting, and she will never be a member of the WCC, because it is her image. Please note, no one can be his own image at the same time, for an image is apart from you, although it reflects you. How many see the point? Yes. You cannot be you and your image at the same time, for your image only speaks of you as it reflects you. An image speaks of something else. That is why I said earlier that if the Church of Rome is apostate, and we know she is, for she is even referred to by Jesus Christ in his prophetic revelation as the Great Hall, then her image also must reflect that apostate nature, or apostate state. And hence the reason the image of the beast is also apostate, for they are in the very image of their mother, Mama Rome, the mother of harlots. For whichever way you look at it, the image of the beast gives us apostate Christendom. Coming back to a thought, that the image of the beast is the image of the Roman-based man, the papacy, just as the image which King Nebuchadnezzar set up over here, Brother Amos points to the chart, reflected his idolatrous spiritual state, you must also see global religious leadership when considering the image of the beast. So, in effect, the physical image in Daniel chapter 3 reflected the idolatrous religious state of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, just as the Tower of Babel reflected the political state of mind of Nimrod. How many see the point? Saints, the book of Revelation has something to say on this issue. And it vindicates this truth, because you cannot take a truth, any truth, into extremes. You should be able to see truth in projection. We all know that leadership sets the pace, the tune, and dictates the state of things, whether in the natural or in the spiritual. The head of an organization, any organization, natural or spiritual, shows the direction, for leadership holds the blueprint and determines what that organization will be like. Come with me to the scriptures to seal this issue. However, because of the complexity of this passage, we will first have to give a breakdown of it in order to give a true understanding of the prophetic picture to the children of God, after which we will hit the clinching verse, sealing whose image the beast conveys. In Revelation chapter 19, which gives us Joel's army, from verse 19, which brings us directly to the day of the Lord, the Bible records, "And I saw the beast, which is the beast man, as that is the very aspect of the Roman base that it relates to, the Pope of that hour, the Antichrist, and the kings, leaders of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, coming as King of kings and Lord of lords, revealed from verse 11, and against his army. Now pay close attention to verse 20, for that is where I am going, and it states, and the beast was taken. I ask you, what particular attribute of the beast was taken, right here in verse 20? Church, this is precisely where God loses the religious war completely, because the particular aspect of the Roman base empire concerned is not stated, and the Spirit of Christ, in conveying this end time picture, simply moves from one aspect of the beast to another aspect of the beast, without any introduction, in a serious divine scrambling of prophetic truth. That is why the book of Revelation is the spiritual burying ground for a lot of these preachers, because they pull its prophetic pictures all out of revelatory joint. Therefore, brothers and sisters, the revelation the Spirit of Christ gives is what makes the difference, as any other projection will create nothing but a mess, a revelatory mess, a total modeling up of God's prophetic picture, which is not of any private interpretation. Verse 20 simply states, and the beast was taken. And I ask again, which beast? Saints. The beast that was taken right here is not the Pope. It is not the Roman based man which verse 19 gives us. It is the spirit of Satan that is behind the Roman based empire, the spirit of the European Union, that was taken. That is why I said God juggles the prophetic record, and unless you have a divine revelation of the aspect of the beast it relates to, you are going to lump everything together. If you do not see that the beast that was taken here is the spirit behind the Roman based empire, the spirit of the European Union, so that the temple itself may cease to exist, you are going to run into scriptural problems, because you would have to deny the taking out of the spirit of the dragon that is embedded in this evil empire, an empire that is strictly of Satan. I will then have to ask you, where else do you find the Lord taking out that spirit? Where will you get the scripture for that within this chapter, which deals specifically with the day of the Lord, bearing the divine judgment of the earth, which is the prelude to the millennium? I ask, because the spirit of the temple will be judged, because it is not for nothing that in the image dream of King Nebuchadnezzar, recorded in the book of Daniel chapter 2, prophet Daniel revealed in verses 34 to 35, thou sawest to that a stone was cut out without hands, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of the Lord, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces, totally destroying the Roman base empire. Then was the iron, the clay, both images which represent the Roman base empire, the European Union, the brass, representing the Grecian base empire, the silver, representing the Medo-Persian base empire, and the gold, representing the Babylonian base empire, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind of divine judgment carried them away, that no place was found for them, referring to all four beast empires. This is because the first three empires had their individual lives preserved, that is, their national and geographic identities were preserved in the Roman beast empire, which gives us the European Union, according to Daniel 7, verse 12. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth, in the millennium, having given the spirit behind the temple a death blow, that it rise not ever again. Then in verses 44 to 45, the scripture reiterates this truth, declaring, and in the days of these kings, the 10 kings of Europe, the 10 major horns of the European Union, who are also directly involved in fighting the King of Kings at his coming, as clearly revealed in Revelation 17:14, evidencing that the European Union is still in the picture on that day, the 10 horns who make up the Roman base empire. Daniel says that in their days shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, the millennial kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and thou didst break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. So, where do you see this fulfilled in Revelation chapter 19? Which is the D-Day for this judgment? You have to come back to verse 20 of Revelation 19, because as long as that evil spirit is not dealt with, he will negatively affect the millennial picture, which is why even Satan himself will be bound throughout the duration of the millennium. Church, the beast attribute that is referred to in Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, is different from the beast attribute referenced in verse 19. In other words, whilst verse 19 is looking at the beast man, on the other hand, and in total contrast, verse 20 is looking strictly at the beast empire, the spirit that is behind the empire, the spirit that has embedded itself in the empire, and the spirit that is responsible for the European superstates. That is the spirit that is responsible for making the empire what it is, an evil, God-hating empire, because there are spirits behind each of the four beast empires, for the empires are not of God, and the spirit that is behind them must be taken out. Now watch this. In our consideration of the application of the beast, whereas verse 19 gives us the kings or leaders of the world, including the beast man, who is leading the kings of the earth in their war. In contrast, now look carefully at verse 20, and it records, "And the beast was taken, which is number one, and with him the false prophet, which is number two, giving us the taken out of the spirit of the Roman beast empire, and that of the Antichrist, the man who is leading the kings of the earth in their war." Now listen to me. Brothers and sisters, this verse, taken with Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, lamb beast, is what the religious world, particularly a good number of the Pentecostal preachers, erroneously take as giving us two satanic human entities, two satanically anointed characters, the Antichrist and the false prophet, which is anti-truth. For we do not have two such entities anywhere in Bible prophecy. Apostle Paul did not carry any messages concerning two satanic entities to come for the world, and neither did Apostle Peter, nor any of the other early church ministry, for they did not preach or teach any such nonsense. We do not have two future prophetic characters of Satan, except one, who is that Antichrist. However, as I stated earlier, from the middle of the last week of Daniel, the Antichrist now removes every religious toga, covering, he has had through time, renouncing all gods, especially the Lord God Almighty, and making himself God in his place, taking over the temple in Mount Zion, Jerusalem, and instituting the 666 mark, unleashing a bloodbath. Brothers and sisters, it is at this very point that the Antichrist now becomes the false prophet, for he is now carrying his own message, what we can call his own revelation, which is his own gospel, so to say, a false message of himself as God, from the middle of the 70th week, just as Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 to 39, provides, "And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself, and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god. For he shall magnify himself above all." 2 Thessalonians verse 4 carries the same picture. Verse 38, "But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces," meaning that he will throw all his resources into equipping his international military forces, whilst acknowledging no god, and a god whom his fathers knew not, referring to his total dependence on his military power, shall he honor with gold, and silver, and with precious stones, and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds, his domain, with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Going back to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20 declares, "And please watch closely. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet." The beast in this verse of scripture is the spirit behind the European Union, the spirit behind the Roman-based empire, for as I must continue to remind you, we must not forget that all the four beast empires are the devil's empires. They are all political structures through which Satan has taken over the world. But now he has raised up a religious office, through which he has now taken over the political power established over that empire, thereby wielding both political and religious powers in one man, in the office of the papacy, in the Vatican City, through which his super prince will later come. That is why the popes rule Europe in the Dark Ages. Just how can a supposed man of God rule over kings of Europe? It is because Satan gave him what he had earlier offered Jesus Christ, but it is what Jesus rejected outright. However, before that man came, and before his religious office was established, the political empire had already existed, for it had been established, and the spirit behind that political empire also has to be dealt with. So, you must see something, and that is the judgment of the spirit behind the European Union, for we are on holy ground. This is the truth of the Word of God. The mere fact that people do not believe it does not make it a lie, and the fact that people cannot see it also does not make it a lie. You just have to choose who you will believe on issues of truth, particularly the truths in the book of Revelation. I say that because it is only in this book, given in 96 AD, that you have a scripture that seems to project to men. Not that it projects to men, but it looks like it projects to men when it is considered carnally. That is precisely why there is no verse of scripture in the entire Bible, given prior to 96 AD, that allows any such prophetic possibility. In other words, apart from Revelation 19:20, there is no other scripture in the entire Bible that slightly or remotely suggests the thought of two satanic characters at the end time. Think about that. So, just how are you going to use just one lone verse of scripture as a basis of a doctrine, when it takes two witnesses to establish a truth? And do not dare go to Revelation 13, verse 11 to 14, for I will tell you now, that no man can be the two-horned lamb beast. Period. So, you just have to make up your mind whom you will believe on this issue. But I will tell you now, that one preachers do not even know the elementary principles of faith, like the correct scriptural formula for water baptism, and the one God doctrine. It is not the deep things of the Spirit of Christ that they will have, and that is a fact. So, if you erroneously want to believe into human entities of Satan at this end time, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, suit yourself, for you are at complete liberty. But I will have you know that there must be a true witness of God somewhere on earth, as God does not leave himself without a true witness at any point in time, on account of his elect children, particularly in a religious world filled with so much confusion, like we have today on the earth at this end time, where we have a cacophony, a conglomeration of voices, all claiming to have been dealt with by God, and all clamoring for acceptance. The bride of Christ cannot be following men who have two scriptural things right and three wrong, or who have four scriptural things right but three wrong, or even five scriptural things right but two wrong, because in such a situation, we will not know who to believe on what. We cannot follow every idiot on the road who claims to have a divine revelation, and neither can we mix the so-called revelations of all these men together and serve it to the bride, for that is nothing but a recipe for confusion. Forget it, for that is instant spiritual death, knowing that a little leaven is even enough to bring death into the food pot. Therefore, God has to give somebody somewhere, not just a true picture, but a true and complete picture of the Word, a voice bearing a wholesome, pure, and complete revelation of Jesus Christ of the Holy Bible, to the full extent that God has revealed His Word, to ensure revelatory unity. Unity of the faith in the bride universal. This is incontestably so, because the Bible message of the end-time bride is not only pure and undiluted, it is also complete, to the measure that God has unveiled His Word, being a complete and all-encompassing message, touching every issue of faith, whether it is doctrinal, or prophetic, or instructions in righteousness, or even mysteries of the kingdom. It is a wholesome message that the bride has, and hence, somebody must be carrying a complete and wholesome revelation of the Holy Scriptures, for the universal bride of Jesus Christ. Moreover, it is not for nothing when the Bible says that we will know our teachers, who will show us the true way, and that we will follow their instructions. Isaiah 30 verse 20 to 21. Now listen attentively to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. For God's true divine revelation is what makes truth plain, and the beast was taken, which is the spirit behind the European Union, the spirit of the Roman-based empire, and with him the false prophet, who is the man of sin, the Antichrist, that wrought miracles before him. In other words, the false prophet that led the European Union, which is the Roman-based empire, performing high-tech scientific military miracles that he lavishly funded, and with which he, the false prophet himself, deceived them, meaning with which influenced or forced them, that had received, past tense, the mark of the beast, man, and them that worshipped his image. Please note that we cannot take this verse back and tie it to the lamb beast miracles in Revelation 13, verse 14, although the miracles in both verses are similar, for they relate to the same things, being strictly scientific military miracles. Which is precisely what the miracles recorded in Revelation 16, verse 14, also gives to us in relation to the Battle of Armageddon. Secondly, this verse, verse 20 of chapter 19, also lets us know undoubtedly that it is the false prophet, the man who is leading the Roman-based empire, the European Union, that is performing the figurative miracles, for they are scientific military miracles. Just as prophet Daniel also foretold that military power will be his God. Furthermore, as revealed in verse 20, please note that the false prophet is also the one that deceived, meaning influenced, them that had received the mark in the second half of the last week, including them that worship his image. In order to settle and seal this issue, in case someone is still not sure about the interpretation of the beast in verse 20 as being the beast empire, the European Union, in relation to the false prophet, who is the Antichrist. Please come with me to see a similar verse of scripture that is tied exclusively to the Battle of Armageddon. In Revelation chapter 16, right under the sixth trumpet judgment angel, verse 13, provides, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon," which gives us the spirit of Lucifer, for he is behind it all, and hence, he is also involved in this battle, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Saints of God, I hope you do not think that each of them is releasing three frogs each. This verse simply means that a frog, which is nothing but a demonic spirit carrying satanic authority and power, is released from the three subjects concerned. Firstly, Satan, secondly, the beast empire, and thirdly, the false prophet, who is the beast man, the Antichrist, showing that all three organs of Satan, so to say, are united in this battle as one force. The dragon, who is Satan, anoints and inspires the false prophet, who is a Roman-based man, the Antichrist, the head of the Roman-based empire, who in turn inspires and motivates the beast empire, the European Union, for this battle, for all three are involved. Consequently, it is not a case of having a man who is the beast and another man who is that Antichrist, leaving the European Union base out of the picture, for that is a most carnal interpretation of a deep and great prophetic revelation of Jesus Christ. That is precisely why on the day of the Lord, as revealed in Revelation 19 verse 20, it is the same European Union beast and the false prophet who is the Antichrist that we see. Period. Therefore, let it be clear to one and all that there are no two supermen of Satan in the tower, only one, who is the Antichrist, and who becomes the false prophet from the middle of the week. Coming back to the issue of the aspect of the Roman beast that the image of the beast conveys, verse 20 clearly states, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, the European beast, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and listen to this, and them that worship his image." Saints of God, it is most clear from this passage of scripture that the Antichrist, who is the false prophet, is the one responsible for all these things, for he is the one controlling the European Union, all under the spirit of Satan, the dragon. But the verse also confirms categorically that they worship his image when it was commanded, which is during the last tribulation. I repeat, the Bible plainly says that they worship his image. So I ask you, which image is it? It is the image of the beast man. It is the image of the Pope, who is the head of the religious system of the Roman base empire, which is none other than the Roman Catholic Church, but who in that day will also be the head of the Roman base empire, the European superstates. That is why the image of the beast is his image. It is his image that has been set up. Brother Amos points to the chart. Because he is Satan's superprince, Satan incarnate, and the office he holds or occupies is Satan's office, the boss over the Roman base empire. That is why Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, declares, "And the beast empire, which I saw, was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority." Because the political position of authority placed as head over the Roman base empire belongs to Satan, the prince of this world, and that is the very seat that the Pope is eagerly and earnestly waiting to occupy one more time, that he may continue 42 months, exactly 3.5 years, according to the record of verse 5. In the day, right there in the middle of the week, Lucifer will incarnate the Pope, as he, Satan, is driven down to earth from the heavenly realms, and hence, the Antichrist, who then becomes the false prophet, will characterize all that is the devil, that is, in the fullness of his satanic anointing and authority, for he receives everything of Satan, just as Jesus Christ received everything that is of God, being God incarnate. That is precisely why the mark is his mark, the number is his number, and the image is also his image. For they are all Satans, who is now fully invested in the Antichrist, the head of the European Union, and the head of the entire apostate Christendom, the World Church. Remember that the World Church now takes in the World Council of Churches, plus the Roman Catholic Church Organization. At the bottom of our chart, we have also portrayed the World Church right under the World Council of Churches. Do not forget that the Bride of Christ would have already gone up to heaven from the beginning of that week. Therefore, when Lucifer incarnates the Pope in the middle of the week, that is the very hour he gives life to the image of the beast, to both speak and cause death to everyone who refuses to join the World Council of Churches. Taking over Christendom, apostate Christendom, literally, marrying his bride, the World Church. Then he also moves over to Jerusalem, right in that midweek, taking over natural Mount Zion, and as Daniel 9:27 and 12:11 states, putting an end to the daily sacrifice and the evening oblation, putting an end to the worship of Jehovah God, thereby taking over Judaism, having taken over Christendom, and thus fulfilling his ultimate evil desire laid out in Isaiah 14, verse 13 to 14, for just 42 months, which is exactly 3.5 years. Jesus Christ then comes immediately thereafter and deals with them all, including Lucifer. Brothers and sisters, that is some serious stuff that will be happening, but it is the truth, as it is the ending story of this apostate religious world, and likewise, it is the ending of the Roman base empire, the European Union, as well as the temporary end of Lucifer, as Jesus comes right at the end of that week and throws him to hell. Bending him there for 1,000 long years of a millennial reign, igniting global peace, righteousness, and prosperity. Having laid out all these things, saints of God, we should all understand by now why the image is really that of the beast man, for he is Satan incarnate, and it is his image or reflection that the image of the beast bears, just as the universal bride church bears the image of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Prince of God, our bridegroom. Do not forget that although this end-time bride will be in the image standard of the early church, it is really the full image of Jesus Christ that the bride church bears, because all that was in God, he poured into Christ, and all that is in Christ, is poured into the church, that the church might be a full, complete embodiment of the Spirit of Christ, that we might be conformed to Christ's image. And so it is with the world church in relation to Satan and his super prince. That is why the image of the beast is his image. How many see the point? Therefore, when we consider the Church of Rome, we must not forget that the image she bears, her evil and apostate spiritual constitution, is Satan's full constitution, for it is the devil that is expressing himself in and through her, as revealed in Revelation 18, verse 2, just as he is majorly characterized in the Pope, her head, and will be fully characterized in him, from the middle of the week. Yet, her image, being satanic and apostate, is also expressed in the World Council of Churches, being the mother of all harlots, organizational churches. But it is still Lucifer in everything, just as the end-time bride will also be in the full image of Jesus Christ, which the early church bore, because it is the Spirit of Christ in everything. Are you with me? And as I must re-emphasize, because the papacy, who is her head, majorly characterizes her apostate spirit, being the determinant of her spiritual state, is precisely why it is also written that it is his image, because he is Satan's super prince. Nevertheless, when considering which attribute of the beast the image of the beast reflects, we cannot look at the papacy in isolation, even though it is Satan's principal office. But we also have to see the Catholic Church, because the beast man is the head of the Roman Catholic Church, and their spirit is one. I am emphasizing these points because we cannot go to seed or into extremes with the truth and fight those who call the image of the beast the image of the Church of Rome, because it is also true, particularly from the scriptural standpoint of Revelation 17, because the papacy does not stand alone, but is also the leader of a religious organization, which is the Church of Rome, a church that bears his image, a Satan's major vessel, just as Jesus Christ is God's major vessel. Having said all that, the fact remains that the image of the World Church Council, which is the image of the beast, is the image of the beast man, Satan's serpent and super prince. One who is Satan incarnate from the middle of the week, a time he will now give life to the image of the beast, which is his image. That is that. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, we have been able to show by the word of God what the image of the beast is and which particular aspect of the beast its image constitutes. For where we are considering or determining the image of the beast, we are looking strictly at an apostate global religious structure, just like the apostate Roman Catholic Hall, which is nothing but the World Council of Churches, which, altogether, gives us the body of the grey horse that the spirit of the Antichrist is riding straight to the lake of fire. I thank you for your patience, and may God bless you all. Saints, in simplicity and in quietness, a great prophecy of God has been fulfilled, for the image of the beast has been set up, and is only waiting to be given live, legal empowerment, political authority, just waiting for the time when they will begin to speak. But the image is already here, saints, for it has already been fully set up, only waiting for the day it will be empowered to speak. And to kill people like you and I, who dare to believe the Holy Bible of God. Church, in simplicity and in quietness, the image has been formed, for it has been established, and Christendom is sound asleep, having not the slightest clue, with hundreds of millions of souls already in this diabolical image, all for lack of divine revelation. But they are waiting for the day when one giant physical image will be set up, just like that of Nebuchadnezzar, except that they expect it to be given real life, enabling it to speak vocally, supernaturally. My oh my! Without the divine revelation which the Spirit of Christ gives, just how can we keep ourselves from being taken? How can we keep ourselves from the inobtrusive, hidden snares of the devil? The image of the beast is nothing but the World Council of Churches. It is not the Matrix, or Avatar, or any cyborg. And let me ask you tonight in closing, what kind of religious council can this be, that it will kill Bible-believing Christians? If you cannot see the spirit of Lucifer in the thing, it is because you are totally blind, and as such, I cannot even help you. That organization may look nice and good intention now, but wait till that hour comes, when the devil takes over the world church, his church. That is why the Spirit of God is crying out loud at this end time, earnestly proclaiming, "Come out from among them, For two cannot walk together, unless they be agreed on the exclusive basis of the Word of God. Since the only thing of God remaining other within the organized religious world are the foolish virgins, but before it is too late, they will come out of those apostate systems of religion, because when the two Jewish prophets, Moses and Elijah, start their ministry, they will expose the Pope for what he truly is. They will expose him for 3.5 years, and with the subsequent ministry of the 144,000 everlasting gospel preachers, the foolish virgins are going to be given boldness and courage to die for their faith, rather than join this image. For at the end of the day, the foolish virgins will have to give their lives to seal their testimony with their blood. That is why I said this morning that the price of truth is going to change. Now it is free, but in the hour, it will literally require your life. If you want to stand for the truth of Christ, then you will have to lay down your neck to be chopped off, for they will kill you. That is why God will anoint 144,000 everlasting gospel preachers, all Jewish men, under the ministry of Moses and Elijah, as revealed in Revelation chapter 14, to cry out to the tribulation saints, both Jews and Gentile foolish virgins, urging and encouraging them to die, rather than take the mark, and neither are they to join his image, because they will rise in the morning. It is all because in the day, the price of truth has changed. Right now, it is free, but in the hour, it will be very costly, extremely costly, for it will require the ultimate price. If you want truth, you will have to give your life to purchase it. That is the price of truth in the day. Now you do not have to do that, for it is free. All it requires is a true appreciation and love for the truth, and a firm and uncompromising stand for it, regardless of what comes or goes. So, I ask you, why will you not embrace truth and live? The image of the beast is not one giant image, nor is it one high-tech computer-enhanced character, called Avatar. It is the World Council of Churches. As the prophet to this Laodicean age stated in 1960, in his message titled, The Smyrnaean Church Age, and you know the Bible said, there be a beast. And we know that's a Roman papacy, the beast man. That's exactly right. And then they went from an image to that beast. What is an image? Something made like it. And that's the confederation of churches, and Pentecost is in it. It'll come a time where you'll either belong to an organization, or you can't keep your door open. Now you see if that isn't true. That's the reason we pound it to death. Yes, sir. Since that is also the reason that this message is going forth in the scribe, to steer us away from the pathway of death. Furthermore, the worship of the image is not prostrating, and neither is it to bow down literally, as we do in worship. It is just to go along with the image. It is simply to be a member. It is to join it. It is to agree with it. Period. And as we speak today, a great multitude of churchgoers are in that image. Well over 500 million souls, and they know nothing. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Brother, we must pray. The Lord bless you.